Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
And today is Thursday, May 14th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the Morning Call reports that officials in Lehigh Valley International Airport say it will be a low-key affair when President Donald Trump arrives today, or at least as low-key as an Air Force One landing can get. The latest FAA advisory calls for restricted airspace for 30 nautical miles around Lehigh Valley International Airport from 12:30 until 5:30 Thursday. Trump will be touching down at the airport and then departing for a private tour of Owens & Minor Incorporated, an N95 mask distribution center in Upper Muckungee Township. The White House press office has not announced any public appearances by Trump in the Lehigh Valley. An airport spokesman said that they are discouraging people hoping for a glimpse of the president from gathering along the airport's fence. While the practice was allowed last summer when a convoy of military helicopters flew through, the stakes are different now because of the pandemic, so they're prohibiting people from standing along the fence line.
Kathy, I don't know if the modifications have been made yet, but they might be planned or have actually been made of what they're doing to Air Force One. It's an amazing aircraft. It's astonishing, all the stuff that's aboard that airplane.
I would love to see that land. I mean, exactly what they're saying don't do, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, from the outside, it's just, you know, obviously it has that it's just a regular jet, but the stuff they have incorporated into it is amazing.
Yeah. So drivers should expect some road closures in the region during the president's visit, but details have not been released. While little information is available, drivers may want to avoid Route 22 and Route 100 this afternoon as a precaution. For nearly 2 hours on Tuesday evening, Reverend Nicholas Martorano of St. Nick's Catholic Church was driving around South Philadelphia on the back of a red pickup truck, blessing parishioners who haven't been able to attend Mass in person for months. Of course, the church would normally be the place where the faithful would come to feel at peace and relieve any anxiety caused by the pandemic. But like many other houses of worship, St. Nick's has been closed to the public to slow the spread of coronavirus. Even though we have a virtual Mass every Sunday and people can tune in, the most important part is missing, being able to receive Jesus and the Eucharist, Martorano told CNN. So he decided it was best to bring the church to them. Dozens of parishioners came out of their homes to greet Martorano and receive his blessing in what is known as in the Catholic faith as the Blessed Sacrament. Frank Quinn, a member of the church for 40 years, drove in a car ahead of him playing religious music. And then Brian Donnelly, another longtime member of the church, drove the truck that the priest was in. Standing for 2 hours on the back of the pickup truck would be difficult for anybody, but Quinn said that the 70-year-old priest took no breaks. Martorano and his crew currently don't have any more ride-bys scheduled, but he said if the pandemic continues to keep the church doors closed, he won't hesitate to get back on the pickup truck once again.
I think I have a method here for dispensing Eucharist that is actually would be safe during this time. Do you remember as a kid you used to have those guns that would shoot little discs?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And you could stack right so that
we have them.
Right, so as you're passing
you
by. Yeah, why not? This way you can keep your distance. Those things would shoot a good 25 feet. So, but you're seeing him in the back of the truck poking along. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, his birthday was Tuesday. He turned 70, and they said he went for hours yesterday and just drove through all of South Philadelphia.
They had one little mess.
One little, but other than that, it was fine. Officials at the Jersey Shore are making plans for Memorial Day weekend, and some are waiting for more guidance from Governor Phil Murphy before they make a call about opening the beaches. 6ABC reported that Wednesday's sun drew walkers and runners to the boardwalk in Ocean City, which is open for active recreation along the beach. People also lined up for a slice of Manco and Manco pizza. In a call Tuesday with some shore town mayors, Governor Murphy said that reopening plans are moving forward, later tweeting, "The Jersey Shore is part of our DNA, and we all want to see it humming through the summer, but we must move strategically and safely." Wildwood Mayor Pete Byron says the beaches there are open for sunbathing as long as people stay 6 feet apart. He's hoping the people who choose to come will wear masks and be safe. Byron also added that the boardwalk will be monitored to keep people from gathering in crowds.
What if you sunbathe with a mask on?
Right.
Oh my God.
What kind of tan is that?
I wonder if we're going to see these tan lines.
Because you know people are going to fall asleep or something or forget to take them off. Can't wait to see that.
In Longport, officials are still deciding, but the mayor says he's leaning towards allowing chairs and blankets on the beach, but no swimming for Memorial Day weekend. In sports this morning,
oh!
Ball sacks are yummy.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Participants on a Board of Governors call with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver left the meeting feeling positive about the league's momentum towards resuming play this season. Owners and executives on the call were encouraged about the league's progress towards minimizing health risk upon a return and the league's office's conversations with the Players Association about their desire to eventually restart the season. Discussions centered on health and safety concerns, including the goal of getting team officials and players comfortable with the idea that a positive test for the coronavirus upon a return would not stop games. Silver added that if a positive test would shut us down, we probably shouldn't go down this path. Arizona Governor Doug Ducey opened the door for professional sports to return to the state. He said that professional sports, including the MLB, the NBA, the NFL, and the NHL, can resume without fans this weekend. The state is starting to reopen during the pandemic and had discussions with leaders of the leagues, but Ducey did not say which ones or elaborate on what activities might take place in Arizona. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred was open to games being played in Arizona, and other sports such as basketball and hockey have considered playing the remainder of their regular season in hubs with several teams playing in one location. The PGA Tour is stressing the importance of various social distancing measures and stay-in-place initiatives as the organization attempts to return in June after what will be a three-month shutdown. Some of that will be unrealistic as players and caddies attempt to go about their normal routines during the course of a day at the tournament. Executives are emphasizing the need to follow strict protocols because the tour is likely to administer just one COVID-19 test per person during a tournament week, with pre-screening and daily temperature checks also part of the procedure. The hope for the PGA is a return to competition on June 11th at the Charles Schwab Challenge in Fort Worth, Texas. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kath. So we have a few things that are going on today, and we welcome you to a beautiful sunny Thursday. We are going to have some guests on the show. We will have Ice-T on the program.
Yeah.
Ice-T is going to be jumping in, and he's talking about Equal Standard, and it is it's debuting today. You can stream it. We'll get the information from him a little bit later on, but we've had Ice on in the past, so it'd be cool to talk to him. We also have one of my big celebrity crushes, Alice Eve.
Yeah, she's
on
great.
The show from She's Out of My League,
which is where first kind of like, oh, what's going on here?
Excuse me. Yeah. But she is in a series called Belgravia, which is available now, and it's on Epix.
It's Downton Abbey-esque.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we will talk to her. And also, we're having a guy on who is a Not Your Average Listener at one point, and I'm going to mess up his name big time, Dr. David Fadgenbaum. I don't remember. I'll have to ask him how you say the name. He was a guy, essentially, doctor that cured himself.
Yeah, he worked on his own cure.
Yeah, he had a rare disease and managed to find a cure for it.
Let's put his ass on this stuff.
Well, that's kind of what he's working on, and that's what he's talking about. So we'll just get a little bit of information about currently existing treatments to maybe work for COVID-19.
Right.
So anyhow, it's mumbo jumbo to me. We'll get the real deal from him a little bit later on. Now, we have to announce our winner from the coolest teacher of the year. Yesterday. Marissa, I have concerns. Come in here,
uh-oh,
please.
Uh-oh.
Marissa, where is she?
Oh, she left. She's done.
I pointed to her and my sheet of paper with it going like, I don't know what this means. So anyway, she's gone. I'll go ahead and do this anyway. We asked the students of Ridley High School to text in and let us know who they thought the coolest teacher of the year was. And we have an answer.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Marissa, come in here. These tweets confuse me. This is the teacher? Who's this? I don't get it. All right. Our winner is Kevin Acker.
Now explain.
Kevin Acker is a chemistry teacher. Well, Marissa gave me some information here. She always gets these bios but I'm confused because it says dad is currently the principal at Ridley. His dad is the principal at Ridley? His father?
No way.
Okay, so Kevin Acker's dad is the principal.
Wow.
Kevin is a chemistry teacher, and I'm assuming that he recently got engaged. Is that what this is all about? Okay, he got engaged last summer, which is nice. Okay. I was confused. I'm like, I didn't understand.
We don't know this guy.
Dad thing. His father is the principal. Okay, there you go. So the students love him. We do know that.
Yes.
They voted for him, and they have now stated he is the coolest teacher of the year. So we are happy to reward him with the coolest teacher of the year coffee mug, and maybe we'll get a chance to talk to him a little bit later on this morning. Now, with that, we need to choose a new school. So
it's you, man. It's you.
Yeah,
it's
us. We're gonna fill in for Kathy and Nick, who are not in the studio. So
I can pretend to like see my hand. I can pretend to.
You know what? I can hold it up to the phone, yeah, and you'll be able to read it.
Okay. Yeah.
You want to do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, do that.
Sure.
All right. Yeah.
I'll reach in. Let me grab a name. I've grabbed
okay.
a name.
Picky.
And Kathy, let's see if you can indeed.
Yes.
Okay. Fire away.
We're leaving Pennsylvania and we're going to New Jersey, Delran High School.
And there it is. Delran High School, Delran, New Jersey. It is up to you to let us know who this coolest teacher of the past year has been for you. So, simple to do. We've simplified it. Marissa has simplified it. You text the word teacher to 39333, and then we send you the voting link. Don't send over the names to that text. Do not do that. That's going to be a wasted vote. So, please follow the steps. Just text the word teacher to 39333. We send you the voting link, and then you fill that out. It's really easy.
Marissa was saying that Ridley High School, who did all the voting yesterday up until this morning, she said they were great. I guess the Preston Steve show is pretty popular in the Ridley area because we got the most votes from that.
Love it.
So come on, this is a challenge to you, Delran.
All right, Delran High School, you have about 24 hours to do it, so we are waiting to hear your vote. Let us know. We want to find out. All right, with that, let's take a break. Come back in a second. The Entertainment Report is coming up with a stupid question, some stuff for you to win. We're going to have a good time this morning. Make sure you stay there.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So our coolest teacher from Ridley High School is Mr. Kevin Acker, chemistry teacher. Next, we want to find out from Delran High School in Delran, New Jersey, who the coolest teacher of the past year has been. Text that word teacher to 39333. We'll send you the link and we'll see who it's going to be tomorrow morning. I have a stupid question that can net you a prize of a $50 Nebraza Brazilian Steakhouse gift card. And this is a really weird one. So there is a condition. It is called dystichiasis.
Dystichiasis.
Dystichiasis means that you were born with a double row of what? 215-263 WMMR. It's very interesting. Dystichiasis means you were born with a double row of what?
I think I know what this is.
All right, 215-263 WMMR. Let's see what your answer is, Steve. Hedges? No.
No. Oh, I'm sorry.
No. You don't. You're not born with hedges.
Oh, that's right. You grow them later on when you own a house.
Yep,
yeah. God, what was I thinking?
So some birthdays today, Thursday, May 14th. Whole lot of them today. We'll start with the band Alice in Chains. Their bassist, Mike Inez, is celebrating his 54th birthday today.
Wow, man.
Bass players.
They're forever locked in time in my mind, you know, and you're like, oh, yeah.
Alice in Chains?
Yeah.
Yep. We were, actually, I was just listening to some Alice in Chains yesterday, and their band that you're like, oh, yeah, they had that song is one of those, so... celebrates 54 today, so happy birthday to Mike Inez. George Lucas!
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't have Star Wars without George Lucas. And driving force in many other things, too, including the Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah.
He's the guy that told Spielberg, you need to do this.
He co-wrote with Lawrence Kasdan. Listen, obviously we know Star Wars. We know all that stuff. But change things up a little bit if you want to honor George Lucas. And watch American Graffiti.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Absolutely. George celebrates his 76th birthday today. Couple of musical birthdays as well. Ian Astbury, who is the lead singer of The Cult. He turns 58 years old. This is a cool tune, yeah.
This is my driving song.
This is a good driving song, Steve. This is the windows down.
Yep.
Song cranked up type of tune. Exactly.
And you hit the accelerator right here when it comes up. You know, yeah. Go like 150.
Which people are driving these days, yeah. So Ian Astbury, 58 today. Happy birthday to him. And CC DeVille.
Oh!
CC, pick up that guitar and talk to me from Poison. He is 58. He's hilarious. We had
with
him
that
on
voice.
We had him on the show one time, and he told us about running around a hotel room with a feather duster shoved in his butt. And he's just funny. I remember him when they had Rock and Roll Jeopardy on VH1. He was a contestant on that, and he was a riot, man.
In the time of the band, their first go around, I hated him. I found him annoying as hell.
Yeah,
and now I like him.
I just thought he was kind of a mediocre guitar player, because at the time when Poison was out, there were people who were really shredding. We're playing, just ripping up the guitar. And he was playing a little more bluesy, more simple version. And it didn't seem as impressive as the others. But still, he did what Poison needed, man.
Yep.
Poison's a guilty pleasure for me. So he's 58 today. Here's an actress that I have a crush on, Kate Blanchett.
Yes.
She is 51 years old today. So she's in my age range.
She's got about 91 movies coming out.
She's in tons of
stuff. Tons of stuff, yeah.
All the time. She's a great actress.
Thor Ragnarok, man.
Yeah,
if you want a really hot goth look.
Yeah. That's what pushed the sexy over the top for me on her was Thor Ragnarok, for sure.
Played Hela?
Was that her name, Hela?
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Hela Boner.
Hela!
She's great in The Aviator, too, Steve.
As Katharine Hepburn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings, Curious Case of Benjamin Button. She's been in tons of stuff. She's 51. Actor Tim Roth turns 59 today. Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, Honey Bunny.
The Incredible Hulk.
Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
So he's 59 today. And this Planet of the Apes was that first one with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh.
Remember, he's the bad guy. He's the evil,
the
evil chimp.
He was a crazy chimp, man.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He was a bad chimp.
Sofia Coppola, screenwriter and director and daughter of Francis Ford Coppola.
Horrible actress. Go ahead, Kathy.
Oh, is she a horrible actress?
Well, she was. I wouldn't say horrible. Just bland. She's in Godfather 3. Yeah. Acting not her thing. Directing.
Right. Yeah. Lost in Translation.
Yeah.
Well, she also has a line of wine. She does like the champagne. So, the Sofia is.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, with his winery.
I thought it was hilarious that you didn't know that the Coppola wine was Francis Ford
Coppola. Not that I didn't know. I think I just didn't think about it.
Yeah, you didn't care.
Yeah.
I remember going to like Total Wine, and I'm like, okay, get the director's cut. That's a good bottle of wine. And then getting home, and I was like, oh my God.
Coppola.
Look at that.
Now, the word is there's an extensive Godfather museum at his vineyard, at the family vineyard, their first vineyard. And it's supposed to be really cool.
Well, that vineyard looks awesome. Like, if you go there, they have a restaurant on site that has, like, a pool, and you can go for the day. And apparently, like, you have to book well in advance because it's, like, such a beautiful, beautiful setup there.
So we tie in Kathy's discovery of the Coppola family with Castaway and the fact that Wilson... The volleyball was the brand name, and it's Robert Zemeckis' birthday, and he directed Castaway.
Oh.
Look at that.
Circle of Life, Simba.
Mm-hmm. So he is also, he's done a lot of great stuff. Forrest Gump, Back to the Future.
He just did the reunion.
Who framed Roger Rabbit. Yeah, he was in that reunion video, or the Zoom meeting. So he's 68. What music are we playing?
Back to the Future.
Which one? Like...
the theme.
This is the main theme?
Yeah.
I don't know why I couldn't pick that out. So he is 68 years old.
You know what he directed as well, Preston?
What?
Used Cars.
Shut up.
Yeah.
That movie is hilarious.
It's one of our, you and I know it, one of our guilty pleasures.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Does it hold up over time?
It does.
Okay.
I just watched it.
It's funny, dude. So he's 68. Then you have Amber Tamblyn, the actress from The Ring and Joan of Arcadia, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. She's 37.
Are they doing a new Traveling Pants? That's the word.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Quite possibly.
Mm-hmm. Those have to be stinking pretty bad at this point.
Wait, was she the chick that comes out of the well in The Ring? That's not her,
no,
right?
No, no, okay. No.
Mark Zuckerberg. Of Facebook
co-founder is 36 years old today. Whatever happened to the other founder?
Oh,
the other founders.
They just sold it out.
Label Weiss Brothers or whatever the hell.
I guess so.
Zuckerberg always looks like Winklevoss. Zuckerberg always looks like he sharded and is trying to get to a bathroom.
Like he's like just not quite sure.
Exactly.
I never saw Social Network. Is it a good movie?
It is a good movie. It's really good. And, it paints him as kind of a scumbag.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday, scumbag.
Yeah. Wealthy scumbag.
36 years old today. I think it was 36. Yeah. Then you have David Byrne of Talking Heads, 68. I got a bunch of birthdays, so I'm gonna just rifle through these last few. But David Byrne, fantastic musician, great music throughout the years. Danny Wood, New Kids on the Block. Oh. I think he was he one of the ones that was at Keenan's, Danny?
Is he the horse face one?
Yeah, he's the horse face
then
one.
He was. Yeah. We had a whole bunch of sugar cubes for him.
Danny is 51 because we had Danny and Jordan were the ones that were at.
I'll never forget. I know we're going to talk about it, you know, next week. I will never forget when they walked out. What is this?
Yeah.
Because they thought they were going to like a radio studio.
Yeah.
And they walked into Keenan's and they had a seizure.
He's 51. Fab Morvan, who is one half of Fab and Rob.
Yeah.
Milli Vanilli.
Yeah, the other one's dead, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Rob, man. Did he not commit suicide?
I think he did.
Yeah, it was either that or a drug overdose a purposeful drug overdose.
He is 53. And then the last birthday is Miranda Cosgrove, School of Rock. She was great in that.
She played a hot teacher on The Goldbergs.
Really?
She looked damn good.
Wow, okay. Yeah. She's 27. All right, let's get an answer to the stupid question. Dystichiasis is a rare condition where you are born with a double row of what? 215-263 WMMR. And I will go to Ralph. Hey, Ralph, good morning.
Zuckerberg sharded.
Zuckerberg sharded.
Zuckerberg sharded.
All right, so what are we talking about? A double row of what?
Eyelashes,
yes.
Oh, I was thinking teeth all the way.
I know, I was throwing you off there. Ralph, you got it right. By the way, Elizabeth Taylor was born with that. You wouldn't mind being that, Kathy? Is that what you said?
Yeah, to have, like, does it make you look like you have extra eyelashes?
I don't know. Elizabeth Taylor was born with that, and she probably had great eyelashes.
She had four eyes.
All right, so Ralph is going to get a $50 Nebraska Brazilian Steakhouse gift card. Nebraska Brazilian Steakhouse in Horsham is open for takeout and curbside pickup, and they have two menus to choose from, Nebraska and the Iron Abbey. Plus, a large selection of beer and wine is available for curbside pickup, and the bottle shop is open. Nebraska has added a butcher shop to go as well. Complete info at nebraska.com. Fans think that Khloe Kardashian is pregnant with Tristan Thompson's baby. The star unwittingly started the rumor mill after she was posting old shots of herself on Instagram and cropped her stomach out of the new ones she continues to post.
Look, it's Throwback Thursday.
Plus, she posted an Instagram story that featured her in a baggy caftan.
Am I Prego or not?
That concealed her stomach. What's a caftan, Kathy?
Kind of like a, I think it's like a, just like a bigger type sweater or
a good thing you transport killer whales in.
Not
SeaWorld uses them.
A typical look that she would opt for. She's also fueled the rumors with comments on a recent episode of their show. She said she was thinking about, quoting, getting some sperm from Thompson, with whom she shared True. The pair split after he cheated on her multiple times and so on.
Doesn't she keep a picture of it in the refrigerator?
She might. I have no idea.
So good.
It's insane the caliber of men that these women choose to be with.
They pick serial philanderers.
They pick
people who are the most unreliable people. And they say the sign of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results.
But I wonder if, like, it's calculated. Like, you know, like, okay, maybe these men won't meddle in our affairs.
Are you looking at them as just, like, sperm machines? Basically, that's it?
Yeah, maybe.
All right, sperm donors?
Yeah.
Nothing more? It's possible.
Wait, what's your logic here?
My logic is that the momager and the daughters are so calculated in their moves and maneuvers that everything is monetized. So their babies, their children, they're monetized, right? So if I can get a father who will not be...
Who will not meddle in everything,
then yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I think you might. There might be something to it. I think what you're saying is that you in other words... The case is they're multimillionaires, all of them. They don't need anything.
Right.
So, but they want to have the kids. So they actually may prefer someone who's a little bit removed and that they don't have to deal with as often.
So you're thinking they track down a guy that they think, do they make this agreement with him ahead of time or are they manipulating the man too?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That is a good question. Hey, listen.
I'm just wondering what you think.
I don't know. I'm just... It's kind of spitballing here right now, but like I'm just kind of wondering, like, why even after everything that has happened over the last couple of years with Tristan?
Well, she has the worst track record. So, but also the funny thing is that there was a story. I was reading the story yesterday, Preston, and there were like four pictures of Khloe Kardashian. She did not look the same in any picture, any of them.
Or Casey, maybe they're just attracted to weird dudes.
Yeah, they might possible. Be. That's possible.
All right. So anyhow, she said that she's not having it with the rumors. She said, "I don't go on social platforms much these days, and this is one of the main reasons as to why I stay away. The sick and hurtful things people say. I am disgusted by so many things I am seeing. Shaking my head, people swear they know everything about me, including my uterus." And then she writes, thick at the end of it.
Thick.
That's just thick.
Of course, she's posting stuff constantly online and inviting this.
Two of Johnny Depp's former romantic partners have come to his defense in his libel suit against UK newspaper The Sun. He filed suit claiming the paper defamed him by referring to him as a wife beater in April 2018. As fans will recall, his ex, Amber Heard, accused him of abuse. And they are involved in a suit as well. Now, Vanessa Paradis and Winona Ryder testified in a hearing conducted virtually on behalf of Johnny.
He has all these people stepping forward.
This is according to Paradis. She said, "We've been partners for 14 years and we raised our two children together. Through all these years, I've known Johnny to be a kind, attentive, generous and nonviolent person and father." She added that he was never violent or abusive. And Ryder said, "I cannot wrap my head around Heard's accusations." This is according to the court documents.
Well, there have been holes put in her story. There was an audio tape that came out and other stuff that came out that supported the notion that she might have been the physical aggressor.
In Amber Heard's case?
Yeah.
Winona says, "He was never, never violent towards me. He was never, never abusive at all towards me."
Thank you.
Depp is also switching up his lawyers, according to The Blast. David Sherborne, an English barrister who specializes in privacy cases. He previously worked with Princess Diana, Elton John, and Hugh Grant. The case is scheduled for July.
He's a splendid client, however, I can't understand a thing he says. He has a bizarre pattern of speech that I find hard to decipher.
It's Johnny's barrister who will be taking over. And if you can't understand him, I don't know how he's going to...
The conversation between those two.
Exactly. Ellen DeGeneres has been hit with a series of allegations claiming she is one person on her show, but the opposite, cold and distant and mean in real life.
This is what we were talking about a few weeks ago.
Source tells Us Weekly she's done. Ellen is at the end of a rope, Source reveals exclusively in the new issue of Us Weekly. She thought this was all just sour grapes from a few haters. But it's not a passing thing. The hits just keep on coming.
I don't think she's done, really. You know, I think this is a little bit of a flare-up, but the Ellen goodwill machine and her show is hugely popular. I think it'd take a lot more than this to reverse the public perception of Ellen.
Yeah, listen, my wife's cousin used to work for her, was her private chef, and he said
some inside
she was
news?
Nothing but awesome.
There you go.
You know, so, in fact, Steve, we were at their house.
And he was a nice guy.
He was talking, he was telling us how cool she was.
Yeah, yeah, and generous.
So, I don't know what to think of all this stuff. The attacks began in earnest last month when YouTuber Nikki DeJager said the 62-year-old was cold and distant toward her when she appeared on the show in January. And then she was dragged for moaning about being quarantined in her $27 million manse, likening the experience to being in jail.
She wasn't moaning. She was making a joke.
She was joking. Yeah,
she was saying that it was like prison because you were isolated with lesbians.
Exactly.
And it was the joke.
Yeah. Then Variety hit with a report in which she left staffers on her show in the dark about their jobs and pay during the pandemic, with her former bodyguard publicly deriding her as cold and dehumanizing. But she's leaning on her wife, Portia. This is according to a source that Ellen is so grateful to have Portia in her life as a soulmate and sounding board. But that doesn't mean that it's been easy.
You know, I would stop effing with Ellen because she has this gorilla sanctuary.
Yeah.
She can release them.
You weaponize some of those gorillas. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to be laughing anymore.
I love this. Nickelodeon has announced that the cast of SpongeBob SquarePants will team up for a virtual table read in the Stars of SpongeBob fan-favorite special, and that'll premiere on June 5th. So everybody, Tom Kenny, Bill Fagerbake, or Backy, I'm not sure how he's pronounced his last name, Patrick, of course, you know, he's been in tons of stuff through the years. Roger Bumpus is Squidward, Carolyn Lawrence is Sandy, Clancy Brown is Mr. Krabs, and Mr. Lawrence is Plankton are all coming together.
I would love to see that.
For the half-hour virtually produced table read to bring classic SpongeBob SquarePants scenes to life. The special will feature animation from the original episodes alongside the voice cast as they recreate scenes that are voted for by the fans.
What's the health status of the creator of the series? Remember,
he died.
Did he pass?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, when did that happen?
It was right before the Super Bowl, remember? Because people wanted them to do a tribute to him in the halftime show.
I totally forgot that. I remember him announcing that he was, you know, gravely ill.
Yeah.
How much do you think those guys make for their voiceover work?
Well, ratio of work to what they make, I bet you they're making a lot. They're not making Simpsons money,
right, but
they're making a lot.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. For what they do, they probably make a fair amount of money. And it's funny because I saw this last night and I started talking to my kids and I want to, while we're all together as a family, sit down and watch a few of the episodes that we absolutely love, because I have like the first four seasons, I think, on DVD.
Have you played any of the SpongeBob video games?
Oh, yeah.
They're a lot of fun.
In fact,
they're great.
Carter went back and replayed one recently and played through the whole thing. It was a lot
Case,
of fun.
You get to live in Bikini Bottom.
Yeah, there's a driving one that I had.
There was a driving one. So we started reliving some of the episodes and talking about them last night. And a few that are mentioned here, the Alaskan Bullworm, which is hilarious. Dirty Dan is one of our all-time favorites.
Dirty Dan. The driving school is one of my favorites.
Yeah, when he goes to boat driving school. Yeah, yeah. Band rehearsal and the fun song, which we had to sing last night as
Sentence enhancers.
How does the fun song go?
I know the campfire song.
F is for friends who do stuff together. U is for you and me. N is for anything and anytime at all down here in the deep blue sea.
Love it.
And then Plankton tanks over and says, F is for fire that burns down the whole town, and goes on.
I love it, and there were quick little moments, and it was very Ren and Stimpy in the way they would do a lot of the animation. So they would, you know, here's a burger, and then they would cut to this static, horrible shot of the burger. I love those moments.
Steve, the sentence enhancers. That could be
my favorite.
That could be my all-time favorite.
Yeah.
Doodle Bob was another good one. So there's tons of great episodes. All right. Moving on, a couple other things. Do we want a Cavallari Jay Cutler?
Yeah, we do. Sure, okay, because there have been developments, and I actually been reading a little bit more on this. I'm actually writing a book.
New report is shedding light into the reason that Kristen and Jay split after 10 years together. In her divorce filing, she cited marital misconduct now. But the real reason, sources say, is that Cutler was rude to her.
How rude?
How many times would you have been divorced up to this point? If you could divorce on rudeness,
Rochelle would have filed suit yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I'm sure I was rude at some point yesterday. It was yesterday or the day before, I said something like, "I was kind of rude."
Yeah.
Anyway, reports have emerged in recent days that she felt he was lazy and unmotivated. But these sources say that's not true.
I heard this, and Casey, maybe you can verify this, or I don't know if this was a rumor or a known fact throughout the NFL. He was supposed to be a really, to this point, a standoffish dick, like difficult to play with. And was that a reputation that Jay Cutler had?
Not that I had ever heard of. The only time I had ever heard really anything sort of negative about Jay was when, listen, he's a type 2 diabetic, Nick. That's the kind that you're born with, right?
How dare he?
That's the kind you're born with, Nick? Type 2?
Sorry, yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay, so at one point he had to, I guess, take himself out of the game. And you know, football is a warrior sport, and you're not supposed to take yourself out of the game. And he got, like, upset at, like, some sort of assertions that that he was soft or whatever.
It was more than that, though. That was an anecdotal thing. The article I was reading, which is fairly extensive, said there were many incidents. I don't know. You can't trust this stuff.
Well, who's writing these articles?
It on the show a little bit. I've said this before. To me, he seemed like a dick on the show.
All right. Type 1 case. He was type 1.
Okay. That's the kind that you're born with?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. Type 2 is when you're obese.
Okay.
So
that's what I'm striving for.
All right, AMS. So they say Kristen...
You want to earn your diabetes.
That's right. I don't want to just be handed to
me. Do we know those silver spoon guys?
Yeah.
You want to have ice cream on your silver spoon.
That's right. That's right. This is a lifetime commitment. Not something that my parents just gave
me. Not going to phone my diabetes in.
This freaking cutler guy.
Putting on that spoon. All right, so they say that Kristen's issue was how he behaved with her, their family, friends, and fans. That was the problem that caused their marriage to shut down. He would be really rude and dismissive and of anyone who approached her. Another insider said he'd quickly shoo them away or roll his eyes to their faces as
they
ask for photograph. For a photograph, and that Jay simply had no time or tolerance for them, and this would embarrass her.
Hmm. If you stop and think about it, Kathy, you can verify this. Here she is with her, you know, like her the hairdressers and all these flamboyant guys and all these people in her life, and, you know, and Jay's sitting in the corner.
Yeah,
you know, I'm gonna go look at the chickens.
Well, and then they're like, yeah, and then they'll ask him a question.
Right? Yeah,
like, yeah.
I mean, isn't it a recipe for a disaster? It's an athlete, a professional athlete, and a reality TV star.
Yeah.
Who expected this to go the distance?
Well, they also is long enough.
Yeah.
Long enough. It's long. Is what I meant to say.
10 years is long enough for a lifelong marriage.
But so we just got a peek inside Kathy's relationship. 10 years is long enough.
They've had similar but like way different upbringings in the sense that like she grew up in the spotlight as a, you know, a cast member of The Hills, and he was you know, a 5-star recruit, so he probably has been pampered from, you know, an early childhood all through high school and college and then professional sports. And she was, you know, similarly pampered as her, you know, she was coming up, and then they meet somewhere in the middle. Yeah. So that's all I got to say about that.
Okay. So anyhow, we'll hear more about this.
I don't like the assessment that he's lazy and unmotivated, though, by the way, because you can't be a professional.
Tell people what he did for you that time, that generous act.
No, I'm just saying that you're somebody who is a professional athlete for, you know, 15-plus years. You can't necessarily be a lazy and unmotivated
person. Well, maybe he is
person.
Now. Yeah. Maybe he just doesn't. He's just kind of, he did his time, and now he doesn't want to do anything. I don't know.
Casey, how does it make you feel when Preston attacks Jay Cutler?
No, he's not attacking Jay Cutler. He's just saying.
No, I'm just saying it might be. You can turn lazy, you know, at some point, even though you were an athlete. I don't think once an athlete, always an athlete. But that's probably the case more often than not.
Right.
I don't know.
Enough. They're both horrible people.
This other story said his behavior when they filmed the reality show was at an all-time low. If he wasn't happy with how something had come across, he would take his microphone off and storm off. And this horrified Kristen. And he was lucky that she was an executive producer, as it meant that those scenes and his horrible behavior never made it on television.
Mm.
So that may have been what was
all
going
right
on behind the scenes.
A little peek behind the curtain.
Matt Damon said that his 21-year-old daughter, Alexia, contracted COVID-19 but is now in recovery. He said, our oldest daughter's in college. Obviously, that's been shut down, but she's in New York City, and she had COVID really early on.
Matt Damon is a 19-year-old.
Along with her roommates, we got through it fine. He said that, he's in quarantine with his wife, Luciana.
And I think it's her daughter from a prior relationship.
Oh, okay. And they're in Ireland, aren't they, Preston? I think Matt Damon's in Ireland. They went to shoot a movie.
He did speak to a Dublin radio station.
Yes.
So
he was. They were filming a movie, and when all this broke out, he stayed there with family. So he's been there.
So he's there with his wife and their three children: Isabella, Gia, and Stella. And Alexia, his daughter from a previous marriage.
Okay. All right, Nick.
For her. Let's see. What else do we have here? Here's good news. Amanda Klutz said her husband, Nick Cordero, has emerged from his coma. This is the guy who had his right leg amputated. He was an actor, a stage actor.
Yeah,
yeah. Broadway star, yeah.
So she shared on Instagram story. She said, he is awake. We did it. He has been recovering from COVID-19, and the struggle has been intense. So, you know, it's he's hopefully going to make a comeback, but there's, you know, there's issues because, you know, he had to have his leg amputated. It's terrible.
Again, the vast majority of people will handle it, but one of the insidious aspects of this, of COVID-19 that I was talking to Dr. Mike with, this blood clot issue, Preston, and that's what happened with him. Losing the leg, and it's and they're trying to get a handle on why these clots form.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just a, you know, you may survive, but you can come out with some serious issues,
lung damage and other stuff. Yeah,
and lifelong problems. So we'll see. Bachelorette fans who are holding out for Tyler Cameron and Hannah Brown to get together may not be wishing in vain. A source tells E, she's someone who's a dear friend of mine, and I'm very grateful we can have a friendship now, and that's that, you know? But you know? Everyone just makes a big deal. No, I'm sorry. This is him. This isn't a source. This is a Tyler Cameron statement.
So he's a really good source.
He's a really good
source.
He's the
one in the relationship. a source close to me.
He said, everyone just makes a big deal out of everything, and that's just how it's going to be.
Huh.
But I'm very grateful to have her as a friend, he says.
You're my friend. Yes, Tyler, I am. Let's go look at water.
Oh, God. William Shatner is rejoicing after a police oversight committee in Alberta, Canada, has agreed to investigate a May 4th incident in which a woman dressed as a Star Wars character was forced to the ground by police officers. So he shared via Twitter, looks like they will actually look into it.
Look at this, Star Trek coming to the defense of Star Wars.
I didn't even think of this.
Don't tell me those communities can't live together.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Absolutely. Prince Harry is missing his friends in the UK after he, wife Meghan Markle, and their son Archie moved to L.A. to pursue a more normal life.
A more normal life in L.A.
Royal reporter Katie Nichol says Harry has a lot of friends in the military community in the U.K., and of course he misses them. It's a very strange time for us all, but I think Harry is missing having a structure to his life right now. He doesn't have friends in L.A. like Meghan. He doesn't have a job, so at the moment he's a bit rudderless. But it won't always be like this, and he knows that.
We were seeking a normal life, like one might find in Beverly Hills.
Exactly. Let's see here. Following two screening events and Q&As, Parkland Rising from Cheryl Horner McDonough will be released on June 2nd to coincide with National Gun Violence Awareness Day. The documentary follows the teen-led gun reform movement that followed the serial shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Executive producer Katie Couric will follow up on the premiere with a conversation with Will.i.am, Manuel Oliver, Greg Kahn, McDonough, and Manju Bangalore.
No idea.
Yeah. So that's coming out June 2nd. And then one last thing about programming. HBO Max is 2 weeks away from its bow and is already announcing a second wave of programming. The May 27th drop will include the Anna Kendrick comedy Love Life, the Amy Schumer docuseries Expecting Amy, and DC Universe's Doom Patrol. The second wave will land June 18th and will include a kid series called Karma, followed July 25th by the second season of DC's Doom Patrol and Sesame Workshop's Esme and Roy, Search Party and Adventure Time, Distant Lands, according to The Hollywood Reporter.
I would like, Nick, perhaps you can do some research. What is the actual current tally of television shows available to us? What are the number of shows that are out there right now?
It was the highest they'd ever had when for the Emmys last year, Steve. I remember that, and it was like over 300 were eligible,
right?
And that was last year. So, but yeah, I'll check.
Yeah, I'd be curious because there is far too much out there, and I don't know how many of these shows find any substantive audience or enough of an audience to keep them going. But they do.
Yep. There's just tons out there.
That's why the subscription model sort of wins in some of these cases, because they're not exactly having to get ratings. They're having
subscriptions.
Subscriptions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, let's move over to clips. The Netflix series Working Moms incorporates raw, unfiltered humor in the day-to-day situations new mothers often face. In this clip, creator and star Katherine Reitman discusses finding her inspiration for the series through postpartum depression.
After I gave birth to my first kid, I had postpartum depression. And I kept fantasizing about driving somewhere and that like a car would just hit me and take me away. Not kill me. I'm not suicidal. Just put me in a hospital with like, you know, some nice morphine and some food delivery service. Just so I could get like a break, a brain dead vacation.
I don't think I want to see it.
Working Moms is streaming now on Netflix. Here's the next clip. In the futuristic new series, Upload, which Casey loves, humans are able to upload themselves into a virtual afterlife of their choosing. In this clip, star Robbie Amell explains virtual afterlives and where his character, Nathan, falls into the mix.
Upload takes place in the not-so-distant future where if you know that you're going to die, you can upload your consciousness to a digital afterlife, but it's not heaven. These digital afterlives are run by giant corporations, and my character, Nathan, is a little bit of a shallow, self-centered douchebag who his self-driving car crashes and he gets uploaded to his girlfriend's account, and now she essentially owns him in the afterlife.
You sound insane.
Upload is streaming now on Amazon Prime Video, by the way, so you can watch it. And
Steve,
there
last year alone, 532 television series were available for consumption in the United States.
532 separate shows.
And that probably doesn't include series on YouTube either, does it?
No. That's like all the streaming services, the networks, things like that. Yeah, and so they don't have a tally for 2020 yet because we're only halfway through. And who knows what production started and stopped and so on and so forth.
Dear God.
Wow. All right, so pick and choose. You got almost 600 things to choose from to watch if you want to. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. We have a few guests on the program. Ice-T is going to be joining us. Alice Eve will be on the show and others. So stay with us. We'll be back momentarily.
Small businesses are the backbone of our local communities, and right now, they could use our help. Introducing WMMR's Operation Shop Local, encouraging you to buy a gift card from your local business to use in the future. But the cash you spend helps the business right now during a rough time. You can also make a difference patronizing businesses offering home delivery or curbside pickup. If you run a local business, go to WMMR.com and list your business in our directory of available goods and services. Operation Shop Local is a free service. WMMR is promoting this local business directory for our listeners to review and support. Support when possible. We're all in this together. A message in the community interest from the Beasley Media Group and WMMR.
Reminder, our coolest teacher from Ridley High School is Mr. Acker, Kevin Acker, chemistry teacher. And we congratulate him. We're going to give him the President Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug. Who will it be tomorrow from Delran High School? We'll find out after the students and everybody involved in Delran High School gets in touch and lets us know. Here's how you do that. You just text word teacher, nothing else, just the word teacher to 39333. And then we will send back a voting link to you. And then you can let us know who exactly it is you want to be given this cool little honor. So Delran High School, it's up to you. You have till tomorrow morning, early, like 6 a.m. tomorrow morning to get it done. So go for it. I have stories about food to share with you guys.
It's time for comfort food, and it's time for a visit with the connoisseur.
You know what? We'll lead with comfort food then, Steve.
In these uncertain times, comfort food can provide comfort.
Yes. McDonald's is offering medium fries free. Let me reiterate, free medium fries every Friday now through June 28th.
Friday.
Now, there's a minimum purchase of $1.
Okay. That's nothing.
Yeah, and you have to place it through McDonald's mobile app if you want to get the free fries. But free fries? That's totally worth it.
But it's not going to be enough. I got to have a large fry. I love McDonald's fries.
Can't do just
fries.
The medium fry?
No, I love McDonald's fries. And if I'm gonna go, I'm going to go all in.
Yeah, I do love McDonald's fries as well.
Right, Kathy? I'll just have three fries. Give me half that amount. I don't think I can finish a large fry.
I tell you what, and there's we've done complete segments just on French fries before, but. And there's all different kinds of fries, but I'm glad I found a place near me that serves shoestring fries.
I love shoestring fries.
I haven't had those in a long time. It's a place called Freddy's. It's a fast food joint, and they have the shoestring fries. Now, the thing about shoestring fries for me personally, though, is when I'm swinging by there in the drive-thru, I get them to go. By the time I get home, they've kind of softened up a little bit. You know what I mean? I want them. The best way to have those is right then and there.
Because to the drive-thru, even with people honking behind you?
Yeah, they cool off very quickly. So,
oh, they look good.
I do like
them. See, each fry has its own thing. Like the shoestring fry, I think they tend to be crisper. They tend to be, yes, I think, a little saltier. If you're in a little bit of a saltier mood, yeah. I love that. As we talked about the difference between, for example, potato chips and potato sticks.
Exactly. So what I love about shoestring fries, if you're sitting down to eat them, you know, when you get them on a plate as opposed to in a bag or something like that, is you can eat them with a fork if you want to.
Yeah, but you're going to want to use a spoon to get every drop.
So, no, but you can use a fork, and I love to load them with ketchup. So,
oh, you do?
Yeah, I do.
See, I eat them sans ketchup.
Oh, I love ketchup.
All right, so, Steve, when it comes to the McDonald's fries, I have an important question for you.
All right.
Because I think I'm with you on large fry only, but yep, occasionally I can go medium. And the reason I can go medium is that you can finish them while they're all still hot, all of the medium fries. When you have the large fries and you get to the last of the large fries, they're not as good as the beginning of the large fries, unless you eat only fries during the meal. You know what I'm saying?
I see that you're sitting down, but I'm going to ask you to extra sit down when I tell you.
Okay.
I can eat cold fries, no problem. Wow. The fries, now I do like the fries warmer, I do like them hot as well. However, The cold fries I can rock. Not that I would encourage. I say, hey, could you freeze these up for me? See, but I'm not. It's not as big an issue for me.
And I like soggy fries. So press. I actually purposely will make sure the bag is nice and tight. So
they
on the right,
steam.
They steams them up, and you get more soggy fries as a result.
I think my credit's been established because you remember.
Crispy.
I hate to bring this up, but I know I've brought it up many times, but I won a McDonald's coloring contest.
You did.
I remember that.
You did.
Many years ago. And what I won, I used to get an entire bag. I think it was of like 10 bags of fries.
10 bags of fries?
And wow. I didn't eat them all then, but I put some in the refrigerator, and then we would reheat them. But that's what a fan I was of the fries at the time.
Wow. Yeah, no, I can't do reheated fries.
No.
I mean, if I have to, I will.
Air fryer.
I prefer them to be right out of the fryer.
Yeah. I got you. I got you.
I've never tried air fried reheated fries.
Excellent.
Baby.
Okay. Air fryer reheated fries.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'll do that. I'll try that one time.
Here's your weekend plans.
Yeah, you go.
Right there. Now, okay, go ahead.
No.
And then we're going to move on to something else.
Yeah, we're sticking on the fry subject for a second because I have lunch with Chuck D'Amico in our programming department.
My dinner with Chuck.
And the way he eats fries is it's borderline adorable because he makes sure that whatever fries are left are like the best fries, and he like stacks them up. So sometimes like he'll take a fry and he'll put it on the other side of the plate and like save
it. Oh my God, he like saves it?
Yes.
I want to kiss you.
Wait a minute. He stacks them?
Well,
like
so,
in a geometric shape of some type or?
Like a log cabin?
The last time we ate together, he had waffle fries and he basically had stacked all his favorite waffle fries to, you know.
He's like, okay. So that's when you should go in and be like, you know what? Do you mind if I have some?
I will save some portions of food, not necessarily just fries, that's deemed to be the best quality,
yeah,
and save those for the final bites.
Yes.
What's the name? Before we move on, your shoestring fry place again, what's the name of it?
Freddy's.
Okay. Freddy's.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to stay with the fries for a moment, but ooh, in a different sense. We're kind of moving on to another one. Shake Shack. Now, they have crinkle fries.
And I am a fan of crinkle fries.
I like their fries. Their crinkle fries are very crispy.
Crinkle fries are, yes. So in my elementary school growing up, the French fry that you would often receive, most often, were crinkle fries.
Yes.
Crinkle cut.
Mine too, although mine were really mushy. I don't know. Anyway, moving on. Shake Shack has posted a video tutorial on its Twitter and Facebook accounts that gives a step-by-step instruction for making the brand's beloved cheese sauce.
Cheese sauce.
Which you can get on the fries. Ingredients include American cheese, cheddar cheese, canola oil, white wine vinegar, jalapeno, onions, salt, peppercorns, heavy cream, and white wine.
Man.
As well.
Nick.
White wine.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whenever I think of cheese sauce, my best friend Steve and I have this saying on it, which is, get one with some cheese on it, goddammit. Because my dad said that one time. He had a plate of nachos, and he went to Steve and said, here, Steve, why don't you have some of these nachos here? And Steve pulled one off, and according to my dad, It didn't have enough cheese on it.
Oh, that's awesome.
So he yelled at me, well, get one with some cheese on it, goddammit.
It was clearly an issue for your dad.
He said it one time, yeah. And you remember for the rest of your life.
We must have been high because we laughed our asses off at that.
And I mean, fact that you still say it this many years later.
I said it last week to him. But Shake Shack, they have good cheese sauce.
So for me, it's always about the pure, unadulterated fry. I don't even put ketchup on it. But now and then, I'll dabble. I will do some cheese. I'll do some other stuff when I'm sure that I've consumed enough untainted fries, and then I'm in a mood to be experimental.
We're looking at the video of them making this cheese sauce. This is not an easy recipe.
I tapped out after the first ingredient.
There's steeping involved. No. There's straining as well, and then you've got to temper it, and you really got to take your time with it. But listen, that's how the tastiest stuff comes
Steve,
about.
Steve, you and I can just go there and get it.
We'll just go get it.
Time and patience and a little TLC if you want to create something at home that is very, very yummy.
Yeah. Those are ingredients I'm incapable of generating.
Shake Shack returned their $10 million coronavirus stimulus loan.
How about that?
Yeah, they got it and didn't quite know all of the details. And once they found out, they returned it.
So that's some integrity in that company.
Well, that and cheese sauce.
If you guys recall, Shake Shack was responsible for me taking a dump on the side of the building over here.
We did not know that.
How are they responsible?
There goes that integrity.
Yes, seriously.
I love Shake Shack, it's worth it, but...
That was your own volition. They didn't request you do that.
No. But
that's what you ate?
Their ingredients...
Try our fries and then crap on the side of your office.
Their ingredients...
So good.
Sped up the process, Kathy.
I love me some Shake Shack. They've got one at King of Prussia Mall, and every now and then the family will go over there. It's quite tasty.
Where's the closest to here?
To here? Probably King of Prussia Mall.
Is it even open?
Yeah, there's one around the corner from Helium.
All right.
I would hope that it's open. What's that, Kath?
Is the one at the mall, is that inside or outside?
It's outside.
Is it?
Okay, yep. I know where it's across from the movie theater, right?
Yep. It's its own dedicated restaurant in
the
parking
lot. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine they're open. Most places are open. Yeah. You just got to pick up or deliver or whatever.
They're open, but they're not open until noon today. So, and I guess they have limited hours. They're only open until 6.
Hey, so did I see a story this morning on 6 ABC about the cocktails now being made available?
Yes.
My a guy that owns a restaurant in Harleysville, it's called Butcher Barkeep. His name is Cody. I saw him on the news this morning.
Speaking of fries.
Oh, my God, sexy fries. Casey had them. Go there. Go get them. But anyway, they have great cocktails. So now you can start getting curbside cocktails from some restaurants, which is really cool. So sit behind the wheel and drink a cocktail.
Well, let me ask you.
No, don't do that.
They're doing hands-free, so they'll actually pour it into your mouth.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So you don't have to worry about it being touched.
Steve, there are places that booty bars, if you will, where it's just all about getting laid, where they will actually pour the booze straight into your mouth.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
So who knew they'd be ahead of the curve?
Mm-hmm.
Press, the bill has to go to Governor Tom Wolf's desk. So as soon as he signs it, then the law would go into effect immediately after it's signed.
I only heard part of the story. I didn't catch the details. So hopefully that'll be happening. So.
Yeah, it passed. He just needs to sign it. That's
okay. Because they have outstanding old fashions.
Well, get on it.
At Butcher and Barkeep. All right, here's another story from the Royal House. This Prince Charles has revealed one of his favorite breakfasts.
I would like to reveal, the Prince Charles would like to reveal one of his favorite breakfast items, Your Royal Highness.
Eggos.
Thank you.
No, it is a savory and dairy heavy egg dish.
Yeah,
This helps to mark the final day of the British Cheese Weekender, an online festival celebrating British cheese and the cheese industry, which has been impacted by the COVID-19 crisis. So on Sunday morning, Clarence House's official social media pages, which officially belong to Prince Charles and Camilla, Duchess of Cornwall, posted the recipe for what is called cheesy baked eggs.
Cheesy baked eggs.
Yes.
How does one prepare this?
This is one of... This is one of Charles's favorites now on both Instagram and Twitter.
But be careful. It will completely devastate your butter.
Clarence House also referred to Prince Charles as a proud champion of native British cheese.
That's what he carries.
The Prince of Wales said,
"Oh, he's very good with cheese.
One thing that undoubtedly brings many of us great comfort is good food. It is, therefore, deeply troubling to learn that this crisis risks destroying one of the most wonderful joys in life, British cheese."
Hey, remember when your mother led a grateful nation through World War II? What are you doing? Well, I'm a big advocate for cheese.
The not vegan-friendly recipe calls for two different kinds of cheese, soft and hard, specifically one of any number of our great British cheeses, he said, as well as double cream and egg. The other ingredients are spinach, cherry or sun-dried tomatoes, and fresh basil leaves.
Uh-huh.
There's also an option to throw in some charcuterie for your choosing.
Trying to get a handle on this. So what is it?
Here's how it works. All right, so the 9-step recipe is rather simple.
That's 8 steps too many.
And begins with buttering a small oven-safe dish.
Okay, that's where I would stop.
Ooh. Then you line it with spinach, tomatoes, soft cheese, and basil leaves. You leave a small well in the middle to crack the egg in. Once the egg is in the center, you pour the double cream over the egg while keeping the yolk intact. Grate hard cheese over the dish and then bake for 8 to 10 minutes.
And now once it's crusty, I gently place it over Camilla's face. Okay. And we have sex.
Okay. Steve, a request for someone for you to say what my dad says, but with the British accent. Get one with some cheese on it, goddammit.
Get some with some cheese on it, goddammit.
Can you do it one more
son,
time?
I suggest you get one with some cheese on it, goddammit.
We're looking at it. It actually looks pretty good.
My buddy Steve is probably rolling with laughter right now uncontrollably. Oh, my God. Yeah, it does look really
good. It kind of looks like a toasty quiche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of along those lines. Yes, Casey?
Without the pie crust.
Right. Because
I do love a good quiche. Steve, can you do it one more time? I want to do it with some music behind you.
All right.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
Sir, get one with some cheese on it. God damn it.
Oh, that's just outstanding.
The royal equivalent of your father.
Yes. All right, so you grate the cheese over the dish and you bake it for 8 to 10 minutes. The Clarence House said the luxurious breakfast recipe is ready for the maker to dig into after letting it stand for a few minutes.
Oh, goody, goody, goody.
Outside.
It's ready.
Outside of you. The prince coming down in his jammies.
Yep.
Hey, boy!
Hey, speaking of cheese, by the way, you guys remember we had the cheese board people in here a couple of before pandemic?
Do I ever?
Yes. So my wife, for Mother's Day, ordered like all these cheese boards for her and all of her friends, and it's coming today.
Is it from that same company?
Yeah,
what's the name of that company?
I believe
they had wonderful cheese boards.
Boardcatering.com. But, okay. So I have to leave work a little early today because I need to sign for it.
Thanks so much for that update. Yes. A nation is grateful for this information. Will you be making duties before you leave?
Let me see. What else I have? Let's talk about the industry a little bit as far as the food industry goes. Most agricultural prices have plummeted during the pandemic, but the price of asparagus is the exception. It's gone up.
I just had great asparagus from to take out from White Dog Cafe, and I love asparagus, but man, Preston, from ingestion to pee odor,
it's immediate.
It's astonishing, right?
It's immediate.
I want to double back here on White Dog Cafe because if you've not had this Brussels sprouts dish they have there.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
oh, right?
God. Yes. It is the best way on earth to have Brussels sprouts.
Yeah. It's probably 9,000 calories cuz it's so sweet.
I don't care.
My God, it's fantastic. Yeah. It is I was just They brought it as kind of a courtesy dish to the table. We didn't order it.
Right.
They were like, here, try this. And I'm like, oh, my God. It's out freaking standing.
They're right. Open for takeout, as are many of your favorite restaurants, so please try to help them out.
So the majority of the asparagus in the U.S. is grown in Mexico and Peru, and the pandemic has seriously disrupted those markets. And this leaves American farmers as the country's main provider of the vegetable, and farmers who had not negotiated a price for their crop before the coronavirus are receiving more than $60 per 28-pound crate. Last year, they got closer to $40 for the same amount, but that's not where the price hike for consumers comes from. We're seeing prices of up to $6.38 per pound in some stores because there's a shortage of the asparagus right now.
You know, asparagus is not something when people start their backyard gardens.
Well,
do tell, Nick.
Go ahead. No. You finish what you were going to say.
I never hear asparagus as one of the items that's being grown. Yeah.
Neither had I until very recently. Our neighbor grows some. Apparently, it's difficult. And there are good years and bad years. But she had a couple bad years in a row. And then last year, it came in, and it came in strong. And so this year, her crop is already coming up. So it takes a little while to get the crop going. You have to be persistent with it. So if you planted it this year, you might not really get much of any.
How does it grow? I mean, does it...
It's like a grass.
Like a grass? Okay.
Yeah, it's actually kind of pretty. It sort of looks like bamboo stalks coming up. But
sure, you go with a little teeny tiny axe.
Yes, and you have to chop it down. You have to hire a lumberjack. No, she already has some for harvest this year. So some of her backyard asparagus she gave us last weekend.
Oh, we're looking at actually a picture of an asparagus crop. No. And you're right, Nick. It actually looks like a tiny redwood forest.
It does. I got a text from somebody says we grow asparagus in our backyard. We've been doing it for 10 years.
I'd be interested to hear how their first 2 or 3 years went, because I've heard time and time again, well, that it's just, it doesn't, like, you can plant tomato plants and harvest tomatoes later in that same year, right? But if you do asparagus, you might not have success.
You ever gone to a grocery store and seen the Brussels sprouts, going back to those for a second, on their stalk, and they sell them? There are a lot of vegetables and actually anything like nuts as well that you have no idea what they look like.
Right, when they're actually grown.
Yeah, before they're harvested. Yeah. And it's kind of, you got to do a double take. You're like, oh, man, I had
the
no
hell
idea.
Is that?
Like, this is the first time I've ever seen asparagus growing like that before.
So asparagus to pee, it is immediate, pretty much. You can eat it and then go to the bathroom
and
immediately.
Then piss it.
Now, have you guys heard, okay, yes?
I was going to say beets is another thing. Now, it doesn't make it smell, but your pee will turn a rosé color. Yeah, Kath.
Like immediately?
And that... Within an hour or two, I've been surprised at how quickly it happens. But if you eat for dinner and don't go to the bathroom till the next day, you think you're peeing blood. You think you got blood coming out of your pee hole.
And that's an alarming thing.
It is.
Because I have actually had blood come out of my pee hole.
I have too.
And that was
good.
Alarming, yeah.
All right, so you guys have heard similar-ish things when it comes to eating pineapple, right?
Yes, that it will cause, your manly essence.
Yes, to taste. It's not a
so
smell
what is,
thing.
What does your semen taste like after you eat pineapple?
Subtle, Steve. That's subtle.
Yeah, really.
We were trying to dance around it, but luckily we got this guy. He's a straight shooter.
Listen, that's my man. I shoot from the hip. When it comes to seminal fluids, man, I shoot from the hip.
Well, my question is, how long does that take? Like, is it the next emission, or is it, you got to, like...
I don't know.
You got to empty the tank.
Well,
first.
Nick, I think you'll say the first few years it's going to be difficult.
Right.
But by
the third year,
it should taste wonderfully.
Number of people are texting in about growing asparagus. It says asparagus grows by accident in the vacant lot down the street from our house from us.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
Our neighbors, and we use it as a communal garden. That's pretty wild.
Well, the old joke is when you move into a house, whether you know it or not, you're growing potatoes and tomatoes in the backyard. They almost, by accident grow.
Here's another one that says asparagus is good starting after the first year. It will grow on its own. And then says we grow asparagus too. It took maybe 3 years to get established,
and
we are finally getting some of it. We're finally getting some to eat this year for the first time. So yeah, Nick, it sounds like it might take a little while. Hang on, we have an asparagus grower on the line.
Ooh.
Aaron, good morning.
Good morning, guys and gals.
Hey,
I'm the guy that sent you the green truck nuts, by the way.
The green truck nuts.
God, yeah. We love those things.
They tasted great.
Hey, by the way, so did it take you a while to get your crop going?
It
Yeah, it's like bamboo. You got to have a good root base. It's got to get its root down. It took us about a good 2 or 3 years for the roots to get planted.
Okay.
Like bamboo, it takes off on its own. So after the first couple of years, it's real bitter when you try to eat it after the first 2 or 3 years. But then after it gets established, it does take off. Like the text messages are coming in.
Yeah.
We planted a 10, 15-foot spread, and now we got like a 30 or 40, 50-foot spread. It just grows.
Nice.
Grows,
I just love I love asparagus. Yeah.
Did you plant it from seed, or did you plant it from established plants?
We planted it from seed. And we've already harvested this year. We had it this past weekend for dinner.
Wow. No
yeah,
kidding.
Yeah, it's an early harvest, right?
Yeah, yep.
Harvest with my asparagus.
Do you only harvest once, or does it give you a few yields?
It'll give you a few yields, but once it gets too tall, and that's when it'll start to get crazy bitter again, and then it'll start seeding again.
Okay.
Huh. Interesting. I'm kind of fascinated by that.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated watching other people do it.
Thanks, yeah. Aaron. Appreciate it, man. Yeah.
You're welcome, guys.
I wish I had the patience and the know-how and the TLC, because you do have to, you got to baby that stuff, some of it anyway, to be able to grow a really cool garden. That'd be awesome, but it's not in my DNA. I mean, I could probably learn to do it, but Carter is trying to do it. We've got We got tomato plants. We've got a few different herbs. He's going to try to grow some.
He's going to grow animals.
I think he's trying to grow like raspberries or something. He's trying to do some berries those are hard. As well. So yeah,
are they?
Yeah, raspberries are hard. Blueberries are hard. You get sometimes it's luck of the draw. Like they might not get pollinated properly.
Right.
So I'll be interested to hear if they turn out for impressive.
Okay. What are the ones that I would just eat in my backyard that just grew wildly?
Those are poison berries.
No. Blackberries, probably.
Blackberries.
Blackberries. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Were they really, really dark?
Really dark. Yeah.
They're probably blackberries. They used to grow wild when I lived in South Carolina for a time. They grew wild all over the place, and we used to just go pick them all the time.
Who would you turn to technically if you wanted to cultivate in your backyard? Because so, we have a peach tree in our backyard, and I guess we have to get an arborist, or what would be?
How does that do? It seems like a little far north for a peach tree.
Then maybe it's a pineapple tree.
But those grow on the ground, you know.
Yeah.
Jason Fayon actually has. What does he have? An orange tree? He wouldn't be a bad guy to consult.
Yeah, so, but he does. He raises not lilies, orchids.
Oh, it's a pear tree. I'm sorry,
a pear tree.
Yeah. Okay. So I know, peach tree is crazy talk. But the but,
you can grow peach trees around here too.
Yeah. No. And really? Okay. Well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they grow them in South Jersey. You can buy them. They're just on your own. I didn't know.
We bought the house. It was there. And it does actually pretty well. We just want
to cool.
Make sure that it's,
yeah,
you know, because it really, I'll if it doesn't survive, I'll miss mowing over them all the time.
Well, and you know what happens, Steve, if you don't take care of it, if you don't cultivate the tree properly, or you don't trim it properly, they'll still grow the fruit, and then that fruit will often fall to the ground and then rot, and then that attracts like yellow jackets and ants, and so like you have to have it cared for properly because it can bring in pests.
Okay, yeah. So yeah. I need to seek some professional advice on how to handle that.
In Florida, where my mom and sister live, and they owned a house, they had grapefruit trees, orange trees, all this stuff in their backyard. They were just there. They bought the house, and those things just produce.
Yeah.
We had
a lovely event for murder hornets last week.
And, All right, let's move on to something else from the connoisseur. Let's see. We did something out of the industry. Now let's talk candy, okay?
Yeah.
How about this? Snickers white chocolate bar is back on shelves permanently.
No.
I'm not a white chocolate fan. I have not.
I have not either.
I am not a white chocolate fan. The only white chocolate iteration of any candy bar that I could tolerate was the white chocolate Kit Kat for a while.
Okay.
But white chocolate to me, always tastes a little chalky and always is a little too sweet.
It's too sweet, I think. I don't know about the chalky thing. I did used to love Zero bars when I was a kid, and that had a white chocolate coating.
I don't remember the taste of those.
It was kind of a caramelly center, but it's rumored that the candy bars will start hitting shelves in January 2020, but it looks like they're officially easy to find at mainstream stores now. It was recently spotted by an Instagrammer at a local CVS store, so should be fairly easy to locate anywhere that typically sells other Snicker products. They now make all kinds of different versions of classics, like you said, Kit Kats. And,
yeah.
And they make a bunch of different versions of Snickers with either almonds in them and other things now.
Well, see, I like the almond Snickers. And what I don't like about this white Snickers bar is that the packaging looks like the Snickers with almonds. And I,
oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
You, you might mistakenly buy it.
Oh, that would make me so mad, Kathy.
No white chocolate, no fudge.
What's that?
No white chocolate, no fudge.
That's what they say at the men's bathhouse.
No, no, it's from Groundhog Day. Oh. All right, so, looks like you guys don't care about that, so we'll move on to something else. How about we go with cereal?
Okay.
A new variety of Cocoa Puffs is coming back.
I love Cocoa Puffs.
Cocoa Puffs Brownie Crunch.
You know, you don't have to really improve on Cocoa Puffs, but so the funny thing is that my normal, I would normally do oatmeal. You know, I had my ritual, which was uprooted when the pandemic started. So if you think you're going through hell, please know that I had to change my cereal.
Okay.
No, but the thing is that, so I've been on a Frosted Mini Wheats kick, which I've always loved Frosted Mini Wheats, and Cheerios. But I did jump into a box of Cocoa Puffs a while ago. The problem with that, and I found I can eat like 3/4 of a box of cereal because it's so good, and I don't feel myself getting full as I'm eating, you know, or it doesn't. I don't feel sated after just a bowl of cereal, and so it's problematic. Do you find that with cereal that you? Does one bowl get it done for you?
No. I got to do definitely, I have to do 2 bowls.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I just do 1 bowl.
How big is your bowl, if I may ask, if that's okay for one man to ask another?
Like a soup bowl, you know, standard.
Okay, I want to have a smaller bowl then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yahoo! I'm Cocoa Puffs!
By the way, the big difference.
Did I get the message?
The big difference with the Cocoa Puffs brownie crunch is that it's made with crunchy square pieces as opposed to the round pieces.
They're introducing a new brand called Coked Up Sluts.
Coked Up Sluts.
Cuckoo for Coked Up Sluts.
Remember that. But I don't care for... The only kind of cereal I like is the more natural-appearing cereal, if you will. I like the Special K Almond Crunch. Or I like just regular, you know...
Kashi.
Kashi.
I love the
good.
Kashi stuff. However, the Kashi stuff's been a little more difficult to find. Yeah. I've found.
Okay.
I've had to revert to more standard cereals.
So you know, like Rice Chex and things like that. I'll eat those. But
yeah.
I don't dive into the chocolate or the fruity ones. I don't really.
No. It's standard, and then you put a pound of sugar on it.
There you go.
I do like a what do you call it? Honey Bunches of Oats. Kashi's good, but. My favorite, man, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I love Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I'm a sucker for it, and we always have it in the house because that's what the kids like.
But again, my favorite by far is the oatmeal, the steel cut. I don't even know what that means. I don't even know. All I know is when I see those words, I tend to prefer that oatmeal.
Okay.
Does that make sense, Kathy?
Do we have time for one more?
Yeah, but we got this clip.
No white chocolate, no fudge.
Thank you.
Let's see. One last story. Okay. We haven't talked about coffee. How about this? Jim Beam coffee beans are now a thing. The Instagram account, Dad Bod Snacks, came across the bourbon ground coffee on Walmart's website. It comes in 5 flavors, including bourbon vanilla, cinnamon stick, spiced honey, signature dark roast, and original. Each flavor is available in K-cup form or individual serving packets.
Would that be seductive to you?
No.
I assume it's a liquor-tinged coffee?
Well, yeah, the bourbon vanilla would be, but cinnamon stick, spiced honey, signature dark roast, I don't think probably does. This bourbon coffee is a type of thing, is a type of high-quality... Arabica coffee? Arabica?
Arabica?
Arabica
coffee?
Yes.
What is Arabica coffee?
It's Arabica is the cousin to the Velociraptor.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Velociraptor.
I was not aware of that. So although all the coffee is called bourbon coffee, it's not actually made with bourbon whiskey. So bourbon coffee is a type of Arabica coffee.
So get this. Dunkin' Donuts
yes.
has a flavor called Dunkachino.
Oh, wait a second. Tell me more.
We actually have a machine that hypothetically dispenses it in the kitchen.
Yeah.
It hasn't worked in quite a while.
No. You know what would be, if we could get that to work, it'd be sick.
Sick.
Yeah.
Arabica coffee is just a coffee shrub from Arabia.
Oh, there you go. That makes sense.
I'm glad you looked that up. Thank you, because I did not know. So that is available. Jim Beam flavored coffee exists. All right. So these are a couple things from the world of food. I thought you might find interesting.
No, this is a good crop because a lot of it is on the honestly the comfort level. And I'm sure I know you are. You're sampling at home. You're eating things you probably haven't eaten in a long while.
Yeah.
And it does live up to the comfort aspect.
Yep. Absolutely. And remember, get some with some cheese on it. Yeah. God damn it. All right.
Sir, put some cheese on it. God damn it.
All right.
You know the difference between steel oats and rolled oats?
Yeah, please tell.
Which one do you like, Steve?
Steel oats.
So steel oats actually absorbs less water when it's cooked, so it's a more firmer oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
And the rolled oats will kind of be a little more mushy.
Yeah, I like my oatmeal hard.
Like steel.
Steel hard. Mm.
And I believe the steel oats are smaller.
It's okay, baby. Not all oatmeal can be hard. Happens to oatmeal sometimes.
We'll try again later.
Try it later. Sit on the bed and cry for a little bit.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to give away a case of beer while we're taking a break. I have a case of Sly Fox Alex's Lemon Wheat Ale. Which will take caller number 15 and set you up with 215-263-WMMR. Don't forget $1 from every case sold. Benefits Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation for Childhood Cancer. And you can also order your favorite bites and brews at SlyFoxBeer.com. Available for pickup at all Sly Fox locations. We'll come back in a moment. Bizarre File stories are on the way, so stay with us.
Back in the olden days, about 5 years ago, your only options to keep listening to WMMR when you got home would be to drive your car into your living room or turn on something called a radio. But now, through modern technology, the smart speaker that's secretly collecting data on you...
What did you say?
...can also stream WMMR. Just tell Alexa or Google to open MMR, and magically we'll come streaming into your home. Plus, it may help distract your device from becoming self-aware. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
We have stories from the Bizarre File, and we share them with you now.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it is sponsored by Cinch, propane tank home delivery service that brings propane right to your doorstep. You can visit cinch.com and use the promo code Preston, my name, to get $10 off your first tank exchange. Well, a friendly and polite cannibal who put out an advert for a man to slaughter in a gay magazine before murdering and eating him has been going for walks around town lately.
You gotta get out and get some fresh air.
Armin Muse was given sunglasses and a cap to hide his identity and then driven to another state in Germany for walks.
So how is the person who did that thing out and about?
Yeah, let's find out. Two officers accompanying
him. Not
unless
that's not illegal in Germany.
They said they always drive him to another state for security reasons. There he can walk around town, according to an investigator. In March of 2001, Muse stabbed Bernd Brandes in the heart after amputating his penis and frying it in a pan with salt and pepper and some garlic and nutmeg. The pair...
Did he have asparagus?
...met online after Muse had put out an advertisement for someone who was willing to be killed and eaten. Two earlier respondents were turned down because there was no sexual chemistry with the first, and the second wanted to be nailed down and beaten to death, which Muse thought was weird.
Well, listen, it's got to feel right.
Mr. Brandes met Muse at his farmhouse in the western state of Hesse. During the murder, in a pre-prepared killing room, both men tried to eat part of Mr. Brandes's, Mr. Brandes, who had taken 20 sleeping pills to numb the pain. They tried to eat his penis. when Mr. Brandes was dead, he was chopped to pieces on a butcher's block and kept in a freezer as Muse gradually ate meal-sized portions over a period of months.
So, by my reckoning, regardless of any level of consent, that's still murder, right? Yeah.
Well, that there's actually some debate on this.
Okay.
After putting out an advertisement for a second victim, he was finally caught by police when an Austrian student reported him in 2002. So there have been legal, there's been a legal argument over whether killing a willing victim counted as murder or not.
Hmm.
Now Muse has been described as a friendly, outgoing, polite prisoner who reads, helps other prisoners with the typewriter, goes to church services, and works in the laundry. He unsuccessfully applied for probation in December of 2017. At the time of his original conviction, a psychological analysis revealed Muse was sane but had a, quote, severely disturbed soul.
I'm sorry, I cannot eat soggy French fries.
At trial, Muse said that he had always dreamt of having a younger brother to be, quote, part of me. To be part of me, and thought of cannibalism as a way to fulfill that obsession. The court is considering a second application for probation, but in January, the Frankfurt State Prosecutor's Office filed a request urging the court to refuse parole due to the lack of favorable social prognosis.
Come on.
I don't know why they let him out for walks, though. I have no idea. Steve, this speaks to the whole breathing behind a mask thing. A Chinese man's left lung has collapsed because he was jogging for 2.5 miles while wearing a face mask.
Oh, my God.
The 26-year-old resident, known by his alias, which is Zheng Ping, was rushed to the hospital after he became breathless and started suffering severe chest pain. The doctors found that Mr. Zhang's left lung was punctured and shrunk by 90%.
Jeez.
They believe the condition was caused by the high pressure in the man's organ due to the fact that he carried out intense exercising while wearing a mask.
And he was cutting off his airflow, right? Basically, or at least
he's trying too hard, yeah.
Yeah.
The jogger is now in stable condition after undergoing an operation. He started running about 2 weeks ago in the hope of improving his fitness after his hometown had been under lockdown for more than 2 months. He initially jogged for just under 2 miles per day, but increased the running distance up to almost 4 miles after a week. He insisted on wearing a face mask during his exercise, despite occasionally feeling suffocating and uncomfortable after seeing other joggers with face coverings. On Thursday evening, he started feeling breathless and slight chest pain. After he ran for 2.5 miles, he carried on jogging for a bit longer before eventually giving up and walking home. His family took him to the hospital after he felt the pain exacerbating. Doctors found his left lung had shrunk by 90%, had collapsed, and even edged his heart towards the right side of his chest. They said that it could have been life-threatening if he had been brought in later.
So this is like the story of the guy who was driving for like an hour with the mask on and passed out and drove into a tree.
Yep. This is a wild story and terrifying video. The footage from a funeral shows a corpse in Indonesia appear to wave from the casket to mourners, sparking fears the person was mistakenly buried alive. So the coffin has a little glass window in it so you can see
the
face,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They used to bury people that way here.
And there's video of this, and you see a hand move across.
Are you kidding me?
From the inside, dude.
Has it been verified?
It's freaky. So the moment was caught on camera May 5th as the family gathered to say final farewell to the loved one in the city of Manado. See if you can find the video for us, because it'll freak you out.
But ultimately, the person shouldn't wave back, right?
Footage shows what appears to be a hand moving under the coffin's glass panel as a priest reads prayers during the service. And the priest was saying, God has said in the book of John, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, he will live even though he is dead. And that's apparently the hand moves.
Guys, that's a beautiful service. Thanks so much.
It was then that what was believed to be the deceased person's hand appears to wave or touch the lid of the coffin.
All right.
We have the video up here on the monitor.
This is the dog chasing after cats.
Yeah, for some reason it changed to a different video.
Oh,
but
man,
that's unbelievable. If you bury a guy and dogs start chasing cats, it's one of the signs of the apocalypse. So, Preston, how clear is it? You saw the video. It's pretty clear. So no one noticed the incident at the time, but others pointed it out when the clip was shared on social media. Experts debunked the theory that the corpse was still kicking, saying simply rigor mortis was to blame.
Yeah.
The condition,
well, the guy's doing a shocker.
In which the body stiffens up during later stages of decomposition can cause the corpse to move, they said. So we're watching it now.
All right.
I want you guys to see. Did you see it?
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
All right, up here with our lights in our faces right now, Case, it's hard to see. When I watch it on my monitor.
All right, I'll check it out later.
On my laptop.
Oh, he's doing the hand jive.
It kind of scared me, to be honest. So it's pretty wild. Something in Southern California stinks. Residents across...
Stinks! Southern California stinks. Coming up here, coming to the southern part of California, telling me it stinks. I know. You think I don't know? Coming in here, it stinks.
Residents across Southern California, including Los Angeles, complained of a mysterious odor on Tuesday. The utility provider SoCal Gas determined the smell was not caused by a natural gas leak in the area. Investigators determined the odor is likely coming from the ocean.
It stinks!
Yeah, the ocean stinks. So
stinks!
Valerie Burkholder with the Aquarium of the Pacific said that the smell, the stink,
stinks!
Is believed to be a result of the bioluminescent algae that has been causing a stir on social media for the past couple of weeks.
Have you been seeing some of this stuff?
It's amazing.
They had some footage of dolphins swimming along in the waves, and they were glowing. Or they weren't glowing, but they were creating trails of light as they were moving through the bioluminescent algae. It was amazing.
Wow. Did Rocky think that was cool?
It was cool.
Yeah.
But it stinks. Yes. So I'm conflicted.
Yeah, that's right.
In one way it's cool, but it stinks.
Yes. Hard to appreciate it if it stinks. What were you going to say, Nick?
I had a friend go swimming in it, and Steve, when he came out, he said, "I am now one with the dolphins." And he was kind of joking around, but he said it was a pretty transcendent experience.
There is a, Nick, there is a lake, well, halfway between a lake and a pond in Jamaica. And when you go down there, one of the big things to do is to go through it, and it lights up. It's full of this bioluminescent stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah. But when you come out, you smell really bad.
Thanks!
Yes. they said the algae is starting to die off, and that causes it to
stink.
To stink, exactly.
Coming up here, looking at my bioluminescent algae and tell me it stinks. I know my bioluminescent algae stinks.
You can say bioluminescent.
Yeah, I just can't say my name.
All right. And that is your bizarre file. All right, when we come back, a couple of guests on the program. We are going to talk to Dr. David Fagenbaum. I think
we got to get that name. I got it.
Fagenbaum?
Fagenbaum, I think, is probably it. Anyhow, he was not your average listener, and he apparently found his own treatment for a rare disease that he had. We had him in here.
Yeah.
A pretty amazing guy. And but he's trying to get some research done on COVID-19, so we're going to talk to him about that in
a
little bit.
There are so many things that they're working on. I would love to hear his take on this stuff.
And we also have Ice Tea at 8:30. So all right, we got to talk to our caller real quick, Case.
Yeah,
thank you very much. All right, so Ridley High School, we tasked you with letting us know who the coolest teacher of the past year has been, and you came through in fine form, and you said it was Mr. Kevin Acker, and he's on the line right now. Hey. Mr. Acker, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, congratulations to you.
Hey, thank you. I think it's the first time my name and cool have ever been in the same sentence.
There you go, but now you are.
Nice. How long have you been teaching at Ridley?
So I'm finishing up my second year now.
Okay, so you're fairly new. And so your dad is the principal of the school?
He is.
What's that like going to work with your dad every day?
Well, it's not often that you come home and your boss is still yelling at you, you know?
Yeah.
You got to go home and do all that stuff. Yeah. But
do you still live at home with your parents?
I don't. I moved out right after I got the job because I said, you know, I either deal with you at work or I deal with you at home. I'm not doing both.
Yeah, no, that's too much. But that is an interesting dynamic.
Nice. Chemistry, man. That's that's a tough class. How do the kids take to it these days?
Pretty good. I try to, you know, keep it interesting. You know, everyone likes to see explosions. Everyone likes to see fire. So, you know, give the people what they want.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I used to love chemistry because of that stuff of the, you'd have all those experiments that created smoke and fire. And listen, for the arsonist, it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Kevin, why do you think you got the votes?
I have no idea, honestly.
Yeah.
I know my fiance's dad was campaigning for me out there, but he knew before even I did. I woke up this morning to a text from him that I won, so.
That's cool. But I mean, you know, clearly you wouldn't get the votes if the kids didn't like you, so you must connect with them on some level.
Yeah, I try to. I help run the homecoming committee. So,
well, that's a big thing.
To, you know,
yeah.
Reach out to a lot of different kids, get to give back to my community. So it's nice to, you know, get out there and say hi to everyone to everyone.
Let me ask you, so as a chemistry teacher and someone who specializes in putting on a little bit of a show in the class and so on and so forth, how has this remote teaching been going on? Do the kids have to blow things up themselves?
I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay.
You know, I've thought about trying it on my own, maybe recording it, but a little more dangerous from home, right?
Right, right.
You know, it's going pretty well. That's a, you know, they're doing the best they can, and that's all we can ask right now.
Right.
Yeah, yep, exactly. You know? It's going to be an odd year. What are they going to do for graduation this year at Ridley?
So we're going to broadcast out, you know, our speeches and everything, and then we're inviting all the seniors to come drive up to the high school. Teachers are going to be lining up around the high school to, you know, say goodbye, and they will receive their diploma at their car.
Okay.
So we at least get to do a little bit of a closure to the end of the year, so it's nice to see them kind of off, even though maybe it's not how they want it to go. We at least get to say goodbye rather than just, you know, leaving on an endless note.
Okay. And graduation, instead of being a three-hour ceremony, it would probably be a six-hour ceremony.
Right, yeah.
Exactly, and a lot of honking, right?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, well, Kevin, this is just it's a nod to all teachers, and we're going to give you the President Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug, and we hope that you appreciate it, because it's not from us, it's from the students.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
And then, Kathy, you wanted to mention something real quick?
Oh, no, you can let him go. I was just going to ask you something.
All right, well, thank you, Kevin. Take care. Yeah! Hope you enjoy the rest of the year and have a great summer as well. What were you going to say, Kathy?
No, I was wondering, because yesterday you had mentioned your school setting up the stages and the kids get to walk across the stage and take a picture and all that kind of stuff. But Governor Wolf yesterday put out a note saying that there should be no graduations, that only virtual graduations, or like what our teacher was talking about, the drive-bys are being allowed. So I'm wondering if your district is changing that.
That's a good question. I would imagine they'll adhere to whatever, you know, the state recommends. Yeah. So, but that was the, and listen, everybody who's making certain kinds of plans right now, I think understands that most of them are going to have to be fluid and might have to change as we progress, as we go on. So, you know, hopefully everybody understands. But when I find out, I'll let you know.
Yeah, the car thing seems fine, you know, on some level. And also, we'll get there. I'll fix everything. Don't worry.
Yeah, Steve will take care of it.
Yeah, I got it.
We're going to break. We're going to come back in a moment. Ice-T will be one of the guests we have in just a little bit. Alice Eve will also be on the show around 9 o'clock. So we'll return in just a moment. Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Kat, so a little programming note here. We were going to talk to Ice-T, but he's running a few minutes late. So instead, we're going to shift our guests around. And we're going to talk to who was once a Not Your Average listener. Well, once a Not Your Average listener, always a Not Your Average listener.
Yeah, it's like the Marines.
Cured his own disease. And let's get him on. I like to call him, I think I have a name for him, Dr. Fajita Bomb.
Yeah, Fajita Bomb.
Fajita Bomb sound pretty good.
When they bring those out and they're steaming,
oh, man.
They're awesome.
Oh, they're the best. No, it's please welcome Dr. Fagan Bomb to the show this morning. Hey, doctor, good morning.
Good morning. Hope you guys are doing well.
Hope you are doing well, sir. Now, to re-explain who you are to the audience, in case they may have missed that Not Your Average Listener segment, you are, number one, you're a co-founder and executive director of the Castleman Disease Collaborative Network. You had this rare disease, Castleman's disease, and were able to find your own treatment by doing your research, correct?
That's right.
And it was because you never gave up on it. What? Just to remind people quickly, what exactly is Castleman's disease?
Sure, it's an immune system hyperactivation disorder. Basically, your immune system attacks your vital organs, actually quite similar to what we see in COVID-19. And I had to do work. I was diagnosed while I was a medical student. I had my last rights read to me as a medical student, had to do the work to eventually identify a drug to try to control my disease. And I'm alive today because of it.
Are you? And so you guys have started to shift your direction and started to look towards COVID-19 and what you can find out to help be a treatment for that.
That's exactly right. I found myself a couple months ago just devastated about what's happening around the world and thinking to myself, I really hope that some research group will follow our blueprint and will actually do the work that we've done to repurpose an existing drug for Castleman disease that could maybe help to find a drug that already exists that could be repurposed for COVID-19. And then a couple minutes later, I realized that I should turn my hope into action and I should get to work. And so my team and I have refocused on COVID-19. We've built a large database where we're tracking every drug that's being tried against COVID-19 all over the world. We found almost 150 drugs have already been tried off-label, which is really exciting because some of those drugs seem to be working, but more data is needed.
So in this case, and obviously, everyone wants to get to that, to get to that mark. I think, and I've heard a number of doctors say this, that right now, the greater get is the treatment if you get it as opposed to the vaccine right now. The vaccine, whatever the time frame is for that, that is more in the distance. But if we have a workable treatment that if you do get it, your likelihood of having dramatic issues with it, it can be reduced. That's sort of the brass ring right now. Would you agree with that?
That's right. In the short term, we have to look to all the drugs that already exist. As I shared when I was back on the show in the fall, there are 1,500 drugs that are already FDA approved for some condition. And we have to see if any of those drugs that already exist for something else could potentially be used against COVID-19 right now. If we look to develop a new drug, and we should work on it, it's going to take years and just too much time. What we really need to do is find a drug that already exists, find out if it's effective, and then that'll buy us some time while we're waiting for a vaccine to come through.
What are the hurdles that you have to get over? There are all these drugs out there. How do you get them tested? How long does that take? How do you know when the results are legitimate? I mean, that's got to take time, too.
Oh, it's really tough. So the questions you ask can't really even be answered.
Yeah.
In the time on the show today. But the best we can do is, and what my team at Penn decided to do, is to create a central repository of all the data on every drug that's being tried in any human with COVID-19 so we can track and see what's being given, what's working, and importantly, what should go on to a clinical trial, because that's where we can really get a sense for whether it actually works in real life.
All right, David, what was the drug that proved critical in turning around your situation?
My drug's called sirolimus. It was developed 30 years ago for kidney transplantation, and no one had ever thought to try it for my disease, Castleman disease. But based on experiments I ran, I thought that it could work, and I'm here today because of it.
All right, so we hear names like remdesivir. We hear hydroxychloroquine. We're hearing other things. There's a drug that apparently was used for the treatment of the Ebola virus that are having all sorts of different things. Obviously, there needs to be research on everything. And everything, I guess, there are different times at which these drugs can be applied in the treatment process. All that has to be hashed out. But a number of doctors, and there's a top immunologist out of France, use the same phrase that when you go to war, you got to go to war with what you got. So, is it at least okay to say that there are a lot of very encouraging developments where people are saying, because we get bombarded with information and our heads are on a swivel like, we should feel encouraged about the direction a lot of this is going in, correct?
I think we should feel encouraged about the direction. I think we should be encouraged about some of the preliminary results. My analogy I would use related to war is that without tracking the drugs that are being given, it's like going to war and not keeping track of what weapons were used on the front lines,
right,
what worked and what didn't.
Right.
That wasn't being tracked. And so our team at Penn felt compelled to do that. And so we've assembled a team. There's over 30 members of my lab and volunteers who spend all day going through these data to try to put it into one central place. You can't fight a war if you don't know what's been used and what's worked and what hasn't worked.
And David, it's been the case throughout medical history, I guess more recently, that an off-label use has proved, as even with you, it's not an anomaly. It happens quite often, does it not?
Amazingly, 30% of all prescriptions are actually off-label. So doctors are often prescribing drugs for something that it's not actually approved for. This happens all the time. Typically, though, when it happens, it's based on some pretty solid data. It may not be approved by the FDA, but there's usually some pretty solid data. In my case, I was the first human to receive this drug with my particular condition. And also, of course, with COVID-19, there's a lot of first evers because COVID-19 didn't exist 5 months ago. So this is a little bit more unusual, but you're absolutely right, this concept of off-label drug use. And it's something that we've really been advocating for drug repurposing, but doing it smartly and to really, really track systematically what's working.
So here's the cynic in me, and obviously when there's money to be had, and I think, listen, whoever gets to whatever the vaccine is first deserves all the money in the world. That's great. But you don't want this game of chess being played where because, you know, you like to think that everyone is moving forward with the same methodology. Do you believe there is a perhaps corrupting aspect to information getting out or what's, you know, what's being tested and what's being kind of pushed to the side, drugs that may exist that are cheaper, or drugs that, you know, or, you know, who's got the loudest megaphone, who's got the biggest access? We would like to think that those mechanics aren't at play here, but is it a concern of yours?
I've actually been really pleasantly surprised with the amount of data sharing that I've been seeing with
Excellent.
The medical community.
I love
it's
hearing that.
It's been really, really positive.
Good, good. Because obviously we all want the same means to the end here on this.
And you know what? I think that because with COVID-19, whoever identifies the right drug or the right vaccine is going to literally change the world. I think that actually some of the commercial interests around making a lot of money maybe will be secondary to literally saving the world. And so I think that we actually may be in a position right now where there are less kind of perverse incentives than there usually are because everyone wants to save the world. And whether it's expensive or cheap or whatever it may be, we just want the best solution. And I've really noticed that there's kind of an all hands on deck effort. I mean, look, our lab is a cytokine storm disorder lab. So we study these kinds of diseases, but obviously, you know, we're doing whatever we can to help out.
Yeah, the real concern is the movie rights. That's what you want, right? Ultimately,
and
who will play Dr. David? Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And points on the DVDs.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, it's honestly, your story is a perfect example, and it gives encouragement. And, you know, just keep us apprised of how things are moving along because, you know, the more you move along, the closer you are to the solution. And it seems like there's just a flurry of minds at work here, and you're just seeing a lot, and for the layperson, it's a lot to process.
Yeah,
it is. And if you're looking for more information about the database that I mentioned earlier, you can go to cdcn.org/corona. And if you want some more information about this deluge of information and all that's going on, you can go to chasingmycure.com.
And remember, doctor, if you get a breakthrough on this, we want an exclusive. I mean, we did give you $250 for Not Your Average Listener. Okay.
It went to the CDCN, so thank you very much for that.
So what you're saying is that President Steve cured the coronavirus.
Yeah.
We funded it. We gave you guys a grant, essentially.
We funded it.
Yeah.
I know that's that might be a reach.
You basically cured it.
Yeah. Thank you. You heard this, man.
All right. Well, thank you for doing what you do. And obviously, you know what you're doing. So that's wonderful. Thanks, doctor. It's good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on. Well.
Anytime. Yes. Dr. Fagenbaum, guys.
Yes.
David Fagenbaum. So, yeah, his story is pretty incredible. So hopefully, you know, he's one of the good ones.
And when he says there's stuff out there, and in his own case for kidney treatment, helped him with his situation. It's great to hear stuff like that.
By the way, Case, can I ask you about your thing you did yesterday?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, there's really nothing to it. But
Casey went and got an antibody test done because late last year he had a, he remembers being sick and it being out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
Not a normal thing. And so this whole time you've been like, I wonder.
I'm curious because, listen, with this pandemic, the COVID-19 thing really here in the United States didn't really become a household name till, what, February, March. March, right?
And so really, but the belief is that exposure to it could have happened as early as late November, throughout December. So
I remember seeing dribs and drabs of the story coming in December.
Right.
Online when I'm doing like searches for, you know, prep, show prep.
So if you look at the stats, Preston, they're saying half, there are a million, there's quite possibly millions of people who have been exposed who've already had it and didn't even know they had it. And also that a good portion of the people will have it and not know they've had it.
Right.
And Casey, I remember when you had sort of a pernicious cough,
dry cough
that was hanging on.
Yeah,
and it would have been kind of in the sweet spot of the time that this was all going on.
And you're hearing stories about people showing no symptoms, you know, asymptomatic, minor symptoms, and then obviously
my brother-in-law, my brother-in-law just lost his sense of smell for like a day and a half, and that was it. That was all he had of the coronavirus. Now, obviously,
you're hearing obviously of the people that are going to the hospital and stuff like that, and then so. But I think what's happening in my household is happening all over the world, you know, especially the country, is people are now sort of backtracking going, I wonder if, you know, and so, you know, my wife had, we both have a friend who was laid up for an entire week with a really, really nasty, nasty, nasty cough. And, you know, again, with all of these sort of symptoms, you know, I think that person had that. And then not only that, but they went away for a girls' weekend, like a day after she started feeling a little bit better, and like shared a room together. So anyway, long story short is, what I was feeling was so weird and so different that I had actually Googled what are symptoms of pneumonia, because I had never felt this way before. So
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. I clearly remember
somebody that. Somebody texts in, I don't know if this is true or not, says that the antibody test can only tell if you've had it in the last 30 to 45 days. I don't know if that's true or not.
Listen, it's possible.
I don't know.
It's
if possible. You Dr. Mike's the one we need to get the information.
Well, listen, I talked to Mike about this, and he was like, listen, whenever you get the results, I need to talk to you about it, because he's not sold on it either, right?
Yeah.
So whatever I had done, I went to a Quest Diagnostics. They, you know, they do it there, LabCorp or whatever.
That's where I get my test.
There is... Listen, even if it came back positive, there's no saying.
No. But you're just curious.
It actually means anything.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So,
when does it come back, Case?
Should be back by tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah. So
and the best part is you ordered the cheese board, so that comes with it as well.
Somebody texted in and said, what is the company that Casey ordered the cheese board from?
Nuh-uh, really?
I swear to God.
Yeah, so you go to... Well, Nick had them come into the studio, so thank you, Nick, for introducing me to Board Catering. So it's Board, B-O-A-R-D, Catering. And, so hopefully.
So quick question. You went into Quest, quick turnaround?
Dude, I was in and out in 7 minutes.
Was it a nasal swab?
No, blood. They took the blood. And usually, listen, it doesn't really hurt, but I always, like, you know, prep myself to get ready for the needle to go in my arm.
Right.
I didn't even do that, and it went in. The blood was taken.
You got
your
lollipop?
I got my lollipop. They didn't offer it, so I went through. I went right one through every single desk.
Hey, where's my lollipop?
And I found it.
Sir, please.
I want my lolly.
Hey, sir, please.
I call them suckers.
I do, too.
Yeah, I want my sucker.
Yeah.
Stinks. Not getting a lollipop stinks. I'm covered in bioluminescence.
So anyway, my wife made the appointment for me. So I didn't just walk into any Quest saying, hey, I want this. Like, you know, I had a time.
Yeah.
So my time was 12:45. I walked in at 12:45. Actually, you know what? I probably walked out of there at 12:52, 12:53. You know, it was
a big old sucker in your mouth.
Big old sucker in my mouth.
Sucker.
Wait, so what was the process? What did they actually do to you, Case?
They took a vial of blood.
Drew blood.
Okay.
Yeah.
They didn't actually take it. They just drew it.
By the way,
I'm going to use my red marker.
In Los Angeles County, there's a flotation therapy studio is offering the tests for $149, and a Botox clinic there is offering the tests as well.
Wait, so like a Halcyon float?
Yes. So health experts are warning that many of these antibody tests may not be reliable, and in some cases might be jeopardizing public health.
Wait a second.
This is in L.A.
If you're in a float tank, and you're getting Botox, you can't get any traction with the needle because when you push down on it,
right,
you're going to sink.
I don't
think
they're doing it at the same time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's just at the place. So the Los Angeles Times reports that there's no clear consensus on whether antibodies prevent reinfection with COVID-19 yet, and regulators have not yet cleared most tests that are being used. In fact, the FDA has only given emergency authorization to 12 tests.
You know what I did, though, Preston? I ordered this Jesus water online.
Oh, okay.
It's my understanding.
But according to Jim Flanagan with the American Society for Clinical Laboratory Science, says tests being sold in unconventional places.
Okay.
Could be a kind of snake oil type of thing. So going to the Quest Diagnostics.
Like sports barbecue kiosks.
Right. The spatulas?
Yeah, I'll take a jet spatula and a COVID test, please.
So who knows, man. But anyway, I was curious how that went. You'll find out in a couple of days. Right?
I'll find out in a couple of days. And then even whatever Mike. I find out, it might not mean anything, you know. So I'll get the results. I'll go over them with Dr. Mike. I love that guy.
He's the best. He's one of the greatest people in the world.
He's my bestie, and he saved my life. And we should all have everybody. I only wish the greatest thing in the world would be to have somebody... A doctor who cares that much for
it
you
really
in your
would.
Life.
Yeah. It really would it not?
Yeah, it would. Yeah.
I wish he's an angel.
He is the gold standard, as right. he says. Yeah.
Well, listen, a doctor is really only as good as his patients, right? So, but Dr.
And his
Mike,
lollipops.
Dr. Mike makes it easy to be a patient because he's so, like, dialed in on everybody.
But so you're saying we're the heroes then, right, Case?
I think we own a little bit of
it. Dr. David just established that we are basically the cure for coronavirus.
I don't know if he has lollipops at Dr. Mike's, but he does have that little coffee stand, which is coffee and tea.
Yeah. Kind bars.
Kind bars, yes.
There's kind bars there?
Yeah, and you know what, though? I mean, the bastard's been talking about having a masseuse for how long now, Nick? And still no masseuse.
Too long.
They used to give us hot towels there.
That's where you got the hot towel idea.
That's where I got the hot towel idea.
I got a hot Carl.
Yeah. Did you really?
Yeah.
God, you guys are besties.
We are besties.
VIP.
All right. Hold still. I got a crap on the saran wrap.
So I saw this. This is kind of interesting. Speaking of all, you know, here we go. Corona Corner.
Okay. Yeah.
Singapore.
Corona activities.
Singapore is using one of the robot dogs developed by Boston Dynamics in a pilot program to help enforce social distancing in a park.
Here it goes.
Oh, my God.
This is Metalhead. So this is Black Mirror. I'm sorry. Do not use these things for this kind of stuff. You know, Preston, it plays into every dystopian sci-fi nightmare.
I know.
Tell me these things on site don't send a shiver down your back.
And you know it's just episode of Black Mirror Metalhead is terrifying.
Do yourself a favor if you appreciate good horror or whatever. Or sci-fi, just check it out. It's a great episode. Do you know you can now 3D print those things, Preston?
Oh, no. Come
what, the on, Boston man. Dynamics things?
The robotic dogs, yeah.
No.
All of the equipment you would need to put one together, you can 3D print it.
There's no way you can make that thing run because those things have to cost tens of thousands of dollars.
You can look online, yeah. I mean, obviously,
I find that hard to believe. But
bad idea. Why? Who's allowing this?
Singapore. The dog broadcasts a recorded message about proper distancing and also has cameras so authorities can keep track of potential crowding in the park. See that thing strolling up on you?
No.
Oh, my God.
Having a goddamn kill bot come up. Because you're within 4 feet of someone.
I know. All right. Our guest is on the line.
Yeah.
Looking forward to talk to him. A film starring him is streaming today.
Yeah, he's an executive producer.
That is correct. So it's definitely a love project for him. It's called Equal Standard, and you can get it at equalstandardmovie.com. We've had him on many times over the years. It's always great to talk to him. You know him from the world of music and Law & Order SVU, of course. Ice-T is online. Hey, Ice, how you doing, man?
Hey, man, what the hell is going on? How y'all doing?
We're doing well.
We are doing great. Hey, I want to get into, obviously, the movie Equal Standard, but there's something. For the years that Law & Order SVU is on, my wife watches all the time, and I catch occasionally, but I did not know until I saw a montage of you that your catchphrase is shut up.
Man, I got 100 catchphrases on that show.
But that one, somebody linked together all of your shut-ups, and it's hilarious, man.
Yeah, well, you know, I saw that, and I mean, being on a show 20 years, I mean, there's enough material to make a montage of me saying pretty much anything. But
20 years.
It was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Well, you know, so I watched the trailer, was unaware of Equal Standard, and it looks really engaging. I was reading an interview with you about it. You had this gentleman, what's his name? Taheem Bryan, who's the writer.
Yes, sir.
And it was a sort of a project of love. And you sort of said, okay, get it done and use my name to get the leverage to do it. And the thing you were talking about, which really impressed me about the movie, is that it's taking the issue today with, with African-Americans and the police and so on and so forth. But you said, and I agree, it shows the grays of the story. Everybody's angle is depicted. And I love things that foster discussion rather than just say this way's right or this way's right. You know, it sort of provides a platform to start a discussion. Was that the whole motivation for you to do this?
Well, when you know, I met Taheem, and he's a young writer out of Queens, and he had these ideas for the film. I read the script, and I'm like, this is incredible, you know. But I also told him, I said, nobody's going to make this movie. You know, you're going to have to do it. And I told him, I said, you know, no one wakes up in the morning with your dream. And when we met each other, he said, I'll never ask you for a dollar, Ice. I just want advice. I just need some help. And so we worked together, and he came up with the money for the movie, and he said, I'm ready to go. And I said, you know, the only note I can give you is make it fair, like show everyone's perspective of the situation. Because in these situations, everybody might think they're doing what's right, even if it's wrong, but from their perspective. Some people know when they're just dirty.
Yeah.
But then there's other situations where there's this weird gray bubble. We have a scene in it where one of the girls is telling one of the gangbangers, he says, hey, what about a cop that just comes out of the academy and the first person he sees is a gangbanger with his face tatted? He's scared, too, you know?
Right.
So it's showing all the different sides, and hopefully this movie can be shown to anybody, and you'll look at it and you'll say, well, it was fair.
Yeah, you know, so I have both my brothers are law enforcement and they a lot of times they'll see things that they're just looking for fairness in the depiction. You know, everybody, and they'll be the first to say there are good elements and bad elements to the whole story, but it just needs to be told. If you don't foster an atmosphere where people can feel free to say and communicate in a way where they're trying to get a result where things can change, then you're just going up against a wall. So this kind of thing presented this way, I think is a good entree. So go ahead.
I think the big problem playing a cop for all these years, the big problem is the blue wall.
Yeah.
The big problem within the police, they won't tell on each other. And the police have to police themselves. You got the good cops, and then you got the bad cops that cross that line, but the good cops won't speak out because they'll be shunned by this oath. And it's the same oath gangbangers take.
Yeah.
You know, the gangbangers are like, we don't tell on each other. So you've got these two people holding this same line, and that line has to stop. Like, you know, there are good cops out there but then when that good cop watches something bad happen and he doesn't speak up, what does that put him in the equation?
So let me ask you. We talk about, you know, decades of playing a cop on Law and Order. You're playing a gangbanger in this.
Yeah, because when they asked me to, first time he asked me, he said, "Look, I just need your name, and then people will get involved with the project because I don't have a lot of money."
Yeah,
and I said, "Cool." Then he calls me and he says, "I need you to act in the movie." I'm like, "Act? What?" I didn't know you wanted me to act in a movie. Then I said, "Well, I don't want to be a cop. I've been a cop for 20 years. Can I play? I play something else?" And yeah, I played a leader of a Crip gang in the movie.
Okay.
So, you know, that's what I play.
Listen, I know that you're an intense, serious guy at times, but I also know that you have a good sense of humor. And I wasn't sure if you've seen John Mulaney's stand-up act, his last hour-long special, where he talks about SVU and he does an impression of you in it. Have you seen it at all?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'll tell you something that's funny. John Mulaney had a television show.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did the intro for the show. And I said, the John Mulaney show, John Mulaney,
show is shot in front of a live studio audience. I did that voiceover, and they came back and they said, Ice, the way you said it, it sounded like he got shot.
So for his sitcom, he had a short-lived sitcom. That was you?
So, yeah, so now they, I had to change it to the John Mulaney Show. It's filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Oh, so let me ask you, too, because I know you're a big gamer, and I know that you have and I love your stuff about gaming, and you do a lot on gaming etiquette. When you're on a playing a video game, what is the absolute no-no when you're playing with other gamers? What is the absolute thing that drives you out of your skull?
I just hate people that yell at their own team. You know, like the guy that's always telling everybody on his own team that he's carrying them, and he's always laying on his back. He's blaming you for why he's getting shot all the time, because we're not good enough, but we're reviving him the whole damn game, and he just complains the whole time. I usually, when I play games, though, I mute people.
Yeah.
Because they say, a lot of people are saying lots of racist stuff on there, and they don't know who's in the room.
Yep.
So I kind of only open up the chat when I know the people I'm playing with, because, you know, you don't want to play with somebody and they're saying a bunch of negative stuff.
Oh, there's tons of, I agree. I just shut it off also because it's a distraction. What's your game of choice? Your absolute go-to?
Well, I play mostly first-person shooters, so I think, you know, everyone's favorite would be Call of Duty.
Yeah.
You know, but I play Destiny 2. I play Division 2.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the game that pulled me into video gaming was the first Resident Evil. That started my whole addiction with games. But I used to have arcade games in my house. I had NBA Jams in my house, Virtual Fighter at my house, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, you're hardcore. Preston has one of these. It's an arcade game that's an emulator. It has like 5,000 games on it. Do you have that as well? You have stuff like that?
No, I don't have. I don't have any arcade games in my house anymore. That was in my LA house.
Okay,
so. Nice. Hey, I know we only have a couple minutes with you left, Ice, but I got some people texting in right now asking about body count. I remember body count probably 91, 92 is the first time I remember hearing you guys. Still putting out stuff. You had an album, Mountain March, and you guys work with Amy Lee from Evanescence. And how did that come about?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the new album is called Carnivore. You can go get it, listen to it. You got nothing better to do. You're on quarantine. Mm-hmm. But you know, we finished the album, and my bass player, Vincent Price, had connections with Amy Lee. I did a song called When I'm Gone, which was a tribute to Nipsey Hussle. And how people honor people once they die, not while they're alive. Mm. Amy Lee had something that happened to them, her, that was really close to that situation. She jumped on the track and blew it away.
Wow.
I mean, it was incredible. So basically, you know, the album is out. I'm just happy about it. Right now, we just did a quarantine video that'll be out probably next week, but hey, you know what you're going to do? We were planning on touring this summer.
Yeah,
I'm unemployed right now. Law and order shut down. No tours. I'm sitting around right now in my bathrobe, like wondering what the hell. I'm so happy to do this interview.
Well, let me ask you: is the key to successful quarantine being quarantined with Coco?
That helps.
That's nice. Man.
That helps. I wouldn't want to be a guy that was creeping around, like, you know, had girls on the side, and now he's quarantined with his wife he can't stand.
Yeah.
That would be torture.
Yeah.
How do you get out of the house? You know, like, it's bad. You know, fortunately, I'm happy married, and I'm not planning on leaving the crib, so I'm chill.
Good man. All right. Well, listen, Ice, we'll tell people about Equal Standard, and you can stream it. You can get it now. EqualStandardMovie.com is the best place to check that out. But it looks like a really great flick, man. We're very happy you're still doing what you're doing, Ice. It's good to talk to you, man.
Thank you. And it's $9, people. You spend that at Starbucks.
There you go. Easy. All right. Ice T, guys.
Yeah.
Take care, man. We'll talk to you soon. Yeah, he's cool. He was very cool. What is this?
This is the Mulaney Open.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Mulaney is filmed in front of a live studio audience, okay?
Shot in front of a live studio audience.
I never realized that was him. No. It was only like 9 episodes of that series or 5 or whatever, but yeah.
Yep. So, Casey, programming question.
Oh, my God.
We're supposed to talk to Alice Eve in 2 minutes.
We are.
So we're just going to have to ride it out a little bit.
Can't go potty, though, because I have to go pee so bad.
So here's the deal. Now, let me ask you, is she like in your, she's in your pantheon of crushes?
Yes, and I'm not going to creep on her because I don't want to turn her off, but she's stunningly beautiful. There have been several movies she's been in that I've really liked.
Yeah.
So she's up in the upper end. You go to the bathroom.
Oh my God, thank you so much. Ahead.
Casey's really got to go.
By the way.
What?
When you have to go like really bad.
Go.
Okay, no.
You must not have to go that bad if you're going to sit here and chit-chat.
No, I do.
Well, then go, because then... I don't want splatter.
He just can't stop talking.
He's talking as he's walking.
One of these days, we're going to have people call in with the most bizarre stories, because Casey will always, oh, my uncle's a lemur.
The other day, Steve, you said, what did you say, Steve? He really does have a story for everything.
Yeah.
And it's accurate. And it's one of his gifts. Because he has a story for everything, but it's also one of his curses.
It's a gift, but the ability to hold on to that and bring it up later on.
When it's time.
That's not...
That would be the best gift. That would be the best gift.
Yes.
Because occasionally what I'll do is, like, I'll jump in and I'll support, but then sometimes I'll just like, I'm too tired to...
I know. And listen,
I'm too tired to get this over the finish line.
And that's when the texts come in about me being bitchy or mean or something like it. I'm like, I'm just trying to keep this moving forward.
Well, off air, what listeners don't get is one of my favorites is when he walks into a room already talking. So, like, even if something's happening in the studio or in, like, a meeting, he pretends as if it's not. And he walks in, like, in mid-story, so you just kind of join in wherever he is.
Yeah.
But it's,
we've all got our things.
It's adorable. Sometimes it's really annoying.
And
but...
he'll ask, and I say to him, I say, listen, don't change a thing, because it gives me stuff. And he takes the flack, so he's a trooper for that. But there's a story for literally everything.
Meanwhile, sometimes... he's going to be so upset that we're having this conversation.
Well, but then he's not a part of it.
Yeah, and he's not a part of it.
Without him, exactly. Yeah.
Somebody... Sometimes Steve is tired.
All right. By the way, since he's going to pee, I have a pee story here.
All right. Make sure it's wrapped up before Alice Eve calls. We don't want to see him uncouth.
The European Space Agency said on Friday that human urine could one day be used in making concrete to build on the moon.
I'm already doing that.
Casey's back, by the way.
Okay.
By using materials available on site for construction for something like a moon base, it would reduce the amount of supplies that would need to be launched from Earth.
So what do you do? They're going to have to drink something to piss it to begin with.
So here's the deal. They'd be drinking water, but then rather than
but that, you'd have to bring the water up there.
But you're not wasting it.
You're basically recycling.
You're repurposing it. Yeah.
Why not asparagus?
Or why not take? Is there a way to reuse urine to drink it again, to filter it again?
That's been part of spacesuits for the longest time, Preston. There has been a built-in filtration setup in spacesuits that will recycle urine. It's my understanding, Nick, if you do a little check on this, into drinkable water.
I know they did that in Dune with the still suits. That's what that was all for. What's that, Nick?
And then The Martian, they just talk about recycling human waste, you know, and it's not that much of science fiction, even though it's set in the future.
Kathy's on board.
Is there a way to turn concrete into urine?
Well, the ESA said researchers recently found that urea, which is the main organic compound in urine.
That's the goddess of urine.
Would make the mix for lunar concrete more malleable before it hardens. And it would also lessen the amount of water needed. The powdery soil on the moon's surface would be the main ingredient in lunar concrete. The ESA said in a statement, thanks to future lunar inhabitants, the 3.2 pints of liquid waste a person generates each day could become a promising byproduct for space exploration.
I'm sorry, but if I'm living in a house on the moon, I don't want my concrete made out of piss. I'd like something a little bit more durable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you see, that place you just moved into, it's made out of diarrhea. Really? And I'm living on the moon in this?
I guess.
Is there something a little more durable?
Yeah, I don't
know. What about some of those space-age polymers instead of my own dookie?
They're going with what they have to work with, so... There you go. The moon is it's a tricky place, man.
It is, man. A lot of stuff floats up there.
Yeah. Everything go all right?
Yeah. Can I tell you guys an ironic story about me telling stories?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I heard you as I
yes,
was
yeah.
You know. So I have a sixth grade yearbook that I just found a couple of months ago.
Wait, let me give you the proper thing.
Oh my goodness. Okay. I can't wait to hear where this goes.
So I found the sixth grade yearbook, and in the sixth grade yearbook, we'd made it ourselves. It was self-produced, and we had our own, like, basically our sixth grade superlatives, and then the old could you imagine?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So they basically had a could you imagine for each kid in the class, and my could you imagine, it said, could you imagine Casey not ever telling a story?
Wow.
Oh, seriously?
I swear to God.
So you've been like this your whole life?
Yeah, so shut up.
What's that noise?
That's khaki. What are you doing?
Okay. We've been on, Casey, how long have we been on right now without taking a break?
Long enough for me to take a dump and a pee in two separate times, you know?
Exactly. And Jace is starving, and he has two loose teeth, and the poor kid hasn't eaten in like 2 days. He's had soup and smoothies, so he has been waiting for over an hour, I think, at this point. For his smoothie. No, that's the blender. That's the smoothie being made. I just said, go ahead, make it. They'll have to deal with the noise.
So are they front teeth?
So Steve, I think he's a little bit early, but it's actually his first set of molars, and both on either side are loose. One came out yesterday. Tooth Fairy came last night, and we think that the other one will come out, but it's causing that, like, you know, that suction cup effect a little bit.
It's like
freaking him out when he eats. So yeah. He's really only had soup and smoothies for the past 2 or 3 days, I think.
Dude, I saw a thing on Instagram the other day that's really, really cool. It's for the Tooth Fairy. You would give it to the Tooth Fairy, but it's a wooden box that when your kid's teeth fall out, they go into it. Basically, the box is
a tooth coffin.
It's a tooth coffin, but it's in the shape of a mouth where you would put it. Each hole
each
is
tooth?
For each tooth.
Ew. Oh,
that's weird.
That's gruesome.
The idea of extracted teeth is just gross to me.
Oh, yeah. Wait.
It's great for Dr. Mengele's kids.
I mean, Press, doesn't your mom have her toe somewhere?
Not anymore.
No, somebody else has it.
Yeah, they bought the car. She loved them. Yeah, dude, I was a baby then. I would have told her how freaking gross
where did,
it was.
Where did you put your baby toes when they fell out?
Well, the Tooth Fairy leaves Jace's teeth, so I keep them. But, Steve, you'll love this. You know what else I kept?
What?
One of my cats when it was a baby. He lost his tooth, and I have his tooth as well.
Yeah.
Wow. Nick Murphy's son, Desmond, has his two front teeth gone. It's hilarious. The
that
pictures he posts of me.
He's adorable.
He looks like Bobby Clark. you know, it's so funny. All right, I've been told the Alice Eve interview is not going to happen, unfortunately.
We have to bail. We have to bail. It's
the audio's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we've started to instituting a rule. When we get a phone interview and the quality is just as poor as can get, we're going to bail on the interview.
And we can try again at another time.
It's just not worth it. It's awkward. We ask a question, then there's a pause, and you wait and wait and wait, and then you hear an answer come back, and then you want to interject something. You're not sure if they're done speaking or not, and we step on each other, and it just makes for an awkward interview. And people always comment on the line, you know, on text, oh, my God, this is awkward, this is weird. No, it's because there's a delay there. I'm sure they're a nice person, but communication, if you don't have immediate response, is a difficult thing. So
you can't give Alice Eve a substandard line.
No, I love her, and I don't want to do that to her. So anyway,
don't do me like that.
No, I wouldn't. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment, and as we are taking a break, Casey's giving me a case of beer to give away. It is Sly Fox Alex's Lemon Wheat Ale, a refreshing unfiltered wheat beer brewed with real lemon. Caller number 11. We're going to give that to. And $1 from every case sold benefit to Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation for Childhood Cancer. And you can also order your favorite bites and brews at SlyFoxBeer.com. Available for pickup at all Sly Fox locations. 215-263-WMMR. Call number 11. We'll be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked. Dirty Honey. Ozzy Osbourne. The Black Keys.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Slight observation that I made the other day. I was at a grocery store doing some shopping. And number one, I met a really nice guy named Ray. He's a big-time listener to the show. And it's so funny because the line to check out wrapped all the way around the interior of the grocery store, all the way back to the seafood department. Seafood department's in the back.
Because you're 6 foot spread.
Yeah, and yeah. there's you go only like one person right. per aisle. So right. so the line starts way, way, way in the back. And it goes around the perimeter of the store, at least half of it. And so I pull up, I get in behind, I'm like, well, this is going to take a while. And everybody's, you know, wearing yeah. masks. And a guy pulls up his cart behind me and immediately goes, Preston? And I'm like, I'm wearing a mask, man. I mean, how do you, right. you know, even know? But his name was Ray, had a nice long conversation with him. Very, very nice guy. He and his wife both listened. They got two young kids and everything. But it was actually a pleasant experience talking to him the whole time. But the observation I made was before that, as I am walking through the grocery store and I am following the, you know, the arrows on the ground and making sure I'm keeping my distance, my social distance, I still, as I would round corners, was drifting my cart a little bit. You ever
yeah,
do that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the time.
You come around the corner, even though you're not going fast.
Like you were still playing?
Yeah, like I'm still playing. I'm like, you're still acting like a child, which is good because that's the way I do it anyway when things are normal. I drift my shopping cart around corners.
There are rituals every time we go shopping. My wife, especially one specifically when we go to BJ's, we'll do it every time, never missed a time. I will pull out the shopping cart. And I will reach over as if I'm putting my wife up into the seat.
Into the seat. You still do that?
And she'll put her arms up. Like,
I love it.
Yeah.
I love
it's
that.
Always done every time.
Complete opposite of what I normally do at Target. I try to get in and out as fast as possible. You have to see me go through Target. Like I actually had to like slow myself down because I almost like took some woman out in an
wow.
aisle because I was like coming around the corner, not thinking anybody was you know in the main aisle. But yeah, I mean I try to get in and out as quick as I can.
Are you looking at the arrows on the ground? Do they have arrows in your Target?
You know what? They don't have arrows at my Target. No,
really?
They have it. Yeah, they have it at Giant and Acme and you know all the grocery stores. But not Target.
Okay.
No, that's the department. They do have, there are spacing. Most places, are like Wawa has the their spacing discs,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And everyone seems to be, you know, yeah. I actually was going to the Wawa on, and this is all positive stuff, Germantown Avenue. I go, wow, the parking lot was a lot more full. And so that there was sort of the maximum group, you know, in there. So I waited outside for a nanosecond. Someone came out and I went and I said to the guy, hey, this is wild. He goes, yeah, business is picking up again. I went into the CVS. There was a whole display of toilet paper.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, signs of normalcy.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Now, what I haven't done, and I probably will do soon, is actually ride the shopping cart on the way back to my car.
It's you actually have to have a little bit of weight in the shopping cart.
Oh, most definitely. You pop a wheelie
yeah.
and it gets out of control.
Yeah, but, you know, you had mentioned, like, BJ's and stuff. Those yeah. shopping carts are the best for that.
They're huge.
Yep.
And they're weighted. The ballast in them naturally is good enough to give you a good run.
Yeah, yeah. But you got to watch out because their momentum. You got to stop early enough because they're kind of heavy and they'll keep going.
So I have I usually put headphones in and I jam out while I'm shopping, whether it's an Acme.
Really?
Yeah. I just I don't know. I just sort of prefer to.
I'm coming up. I want the world to know.
Let it go.
I'm coming up.
But I will dance down the aisle. I definitely
Do you really?
I do. You not dance a not bit? Not full on like Saturday
rerun?
Night Fever. I'm not doing the rerun.
You should.
I'm not doing the Running Man, but I definitely, if there's an up tempo song, I definitely bounce and walk to the beat of the music.
Oh,
Preston, are you friends with a guy named Woody in L.A.? Is that your radio friend out
yes,
there?
Yes, yes. Woody okay. does a morning show in Los Angeles.
So, have you seen their bit called Cart Narcs?
No.
All right. So it speaks to our show too. And, okay. and somebody tweeted it at you and me the other day. And I fell down this hole where they send one of their producers out into a parking lot, and people that leave the shopping carts out in the lot somewhere without returning them to the proper shopping cart. Talk about a.
I love it. Let's just park here for a second, Nick.
Yeah, President Steve Freudian slip. Yeah. They if you haven't returned your cart to where it's supposed to go, they send one of their producers, and he calls them out on it, and he sits outside of their car and waits for them to return it. But he has this little siren noise that he makes every time, and he just goes whoop 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 whoop.
It's that type of thing
when he goes after them, and it's really funny. But they've made it into a bit for Woody's show in L.A.
How do people respond? Do they get angry?
You get a mixed response. Sometimes people take ownership on it, and they'll apologize and like, you know what, I was just being lazy. And other times people get furious.
Okay, because it's pet peeve of mine. I hate seeing especially one that takes up a parking spot. Okay, so it'll be, you know how there's
stop
a little
that stuff.
Sometimes mm-hmm. there's a little median yeah. that you park in front of, and someone will put just like the front wheels of the cart up on it, and the rear end hangs into the parking spot,
that's
which
not...
still ain't cool. I used to get really angry at any time I saw one of those sitting anywhere. I try to think that maybe that person has physical limitations, or they're older, or
they're rude.
That's, I think, more often than they're just a little too yeah. damn lazy to do it.
Yeah, I want
to
hear somebody actually justify why they do that. Because, listen, I get it. Sometimes you put the stuff in the car and you're like, man, I'm done. I just want to get in my car and go.
But you don't eat up a parking spot
no.
with it. And every place that I go to, like the Acme over on Mermaid in, I guess it's technically Chestnut Hill at that point. I don't know. Mount Airy. Anyway, there are a number of those shopping cart stations all around the parking lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can get it right there, no problem. And nothing sucks like on a rainy day or something if you're pulling in and there's a spot available and you're like, now I got to get out and move this freaking
right. Here's thing. The deal. Know yourself. If you know yourself well
check
enough.
Check yourself.
Check it before.
You wreck yourself.
That's right.
Thank
no,
you.
But know yourself. And if you are the type of person that leaves a cart just kind of sitting in the parking lot, then why don't you just park closer to the cart return? So then you don't have to go even further.
I like to do that yeah. more so than parking close to the store. I go because it's a little further out. I park by the little corral.
I'm a loner.
Yeah.
You listen, know, that's the way I roll, man.
Listen, I don't have the biggest mental capacity of the, you know, somebody with a brain, okay? So, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. That was brilliant.
But I do know myself well enough to know that I'm a forgetful person. So what I do is I build these things into my life so I don't forget things. So if you know that you're just a lazy-ass human being, then do yourself and everybody else a favor and park closer to the cart return so that you can just put it there and not leave it just sitting around.
All right. I agree.
Amen.
No, I'm with you. But if you're a person that does that without...
Then you're a pedophile.
Well, no, you're not a pedophile.
That might be a jump, but I just make the assumption.
If you're a person that does that without good reason, then you just please, on behalf of everybody else, just stop it. I mean, there's a lot of things I want people to stop doing, like, you know, throwing their cigarette butts out the car window and so on. But
also, on the other flip side of the coin, you don't need the Nazi who's, you know, like you were talking about, Preston, or someone's forgotten their mask. Come on.
I know.
Come on.
I try to, when I do park in the lot, eyeball and see if somebody's wrapping up with the cart, and here, I'll take that for you because I'm heading that way. I'll take it.
I love those people.
Or intercept them. Pat, I do this all the time.
Just take it from them before they're done.
Put their groceries in the car.
Hey, we eat the same stuff. Thank you.
Yeah.
No, I love that when people see, like, if people see you headed towards the, you know, to put it back in the return, and they're like, hey, don't worry, I'll grab it.
Yeah.
That's like a nice little treat.
That's happening less and less now.
True.
Your cooties are all over it.
Well, then, and a lot of times in the handicap parking spots, they are close to the store, but the cart, you either have to walk all the way back to the store or in the other direction. So
I never understood that.
They should have a dedicated one, but you know other people would put their carts there. But they should have a dedicated one for handicap.
I was tailgating in a handicap spot yesterday, and I'm looking at this guy. And I'm like, look at this guy at with this cart.
Yeah. Hang on. Sandy says she can justify leaving the cart the spot. So let's do that. Hi.
Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? All right, Sandy. What's your story?
Okay. So, first of all, I'm disabled myself. I'm 32 years old, and my disability is invisible. And there's a lot of people that you can't tell they're disabled just by looking at them.
Right. Okay. What is yours, if you don't mind sharing?
She has a predator chasing her.
Oh, it's invisible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You could just hear.
Yeah. That's understandable, man. You got to get in your car and go as quickly as possible. All right.
Sandy, legitimately, what is it?
I have something called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It makes my joints dislocate.
That's horrible. So but Preston did say, you know, if there's something that's an extenuating circumstance, but I think even you probably, Sandy, suspect that a lot of people. Yeah, absolutely.
You never know.
Right.
And because not everyone has access to an accessible spot, a handicap spot.
Right.
Like
yesterday, I was tailgating in one. I'm like, why aren't there more handicap spots here?
Yeah, and you can't even always park next to the cart corral.
Right.
And something that's really weird is the accessible spots, there's no cart corral near them.
Yeah, I was just saying that. Yeah, that's because your choice is to walk all the way back to the store. Yeah.
Yeah, and so if you can't get the spot that's near the cart corral or near, you know, somewhere to put the cart, you know, you end up leaving it where you leave it because... Hey.
Sandy,
grocery shopping is really difficult for people like myself, and by the time I'm done. I physically cannot do it anymore.
Do you ever catch crap from someone because you park in a handicapped spot? It's not overtly visible what's wrong with you, and you'll get this stink eye from someone because they think you're stealing a handicapped spot?
Yeah, so I actually have, and I have stickers on every side of my car.
Okay.
Every disability is visible. And there are still people that do it.
All right. Yeah, yep. Yeah. We just have to remember there's things you may not be able to see.
Totally. Thanks,
like
Sandy.
Like a predator.
Or a heart condition or something like that.
Yeah.
You just, you know, long distances can be harmful for you. What were you going to say, Kat?
No, I was going to say, like, the stores that don't have the, you know, the cart corral, like, you're going to get carts all over the grass area there. Like, there's, what are you going to do? Like, people are just going to leave it there. You can't blame them.
Yeah, nope. Let me go to Derek. Hey, Derek, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, buddy?
So it's actually two things. So one time I was actually in Asbury Park at the Target there. And
where Bruce is from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, nice piece of dog. Anyway, there was a cart that rammed right into the side of my car, and I only had it for a week. There's a huge dent in it. It's still there. It's been 2 years.
Oh.
I had it for a week. Oh, I was so pissed.
Yeah, that's one of the things is that the carts. I've seen people, and the thing that blows my mind is when you see somebody just push a cart in the lot and just it'll end up someplace. I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen over by Best Buy in Plymouth Meeting in the Metroplex. People just go, this lot's big enough. I'll just push it.
Oh.
It's like, what really burns me is people that leave a cart next to someone else's car next to the door.
Yeah.
And they even put it back in the cart caddy.
Yeah. There's certain things, obviously, that'll make it easier if you just have a little bit of courtesy, maybe push it a couple extra feet, and it'll be a better world. Hey, right. We're here trying to work on the coronavirus cure, so please.
What was your other story, Derek?
The Wegmans by the King of Prussia, there are people that I've literally watched. They're next to the cart caddy. All they have to do is just put the cart in the cart caddy, but what they'll do... There's little islands around, or there's like a grass perimeter around the parking lot. They would literally lift up the front of the cart and the back end of the cart, and then just leave the cart in the middle of the island. Hmm. So someone has to go and grab the carts off the grass if they want one.
Yep, I've seen that. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it.
Well,
you need to be euthanized.
All right, thanks, Derek. Euthanized?
Oh, maybe that's too much.
Okay. Sterilized.
You always go over the top.
Have you guys seen the footage of a woman on Mother's Day freaking out? This is in York, Pennsylvania, about waiting too long to get her food at Red Lobster.
I have it in the bizarre file coming up next.
Okay, well then, just you wait.
It's, she punched somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she got mad. I can't wait.
That was a good tease.
Yeah, thank you.
Let me see. One other call here. I'm going to go to Heather. Hey, Heather, good morning. Heather?
Okay. Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. Is your name Heather?
No, it's Monica.
Oh, damn it.
Monica.
Same thing.
Sounds so close. It sounds just the same.
Okay. Hi, Monica.
Hi.
What's your story?
I have a really good reason for leaving my cart in the parking lot about 10 years ago. I was shopping with my children, three small children. So I got them in the cart, unpacked my stuff. And then I left the cart right there. I get in the car. I was ready to leave. Some lady comes up. She's screaming at me, pounding on my window. So I put the window down, and she said, "How dare you leave your cart in the parking lot? Why did you do it?" So I screamed back at her. My kids were scared. I said, "Look in the car. I have three little ones. I just left it there." We were fighting back and forth.
Right.
So that's my story.
Okay. That's your good reason?
I didn't want to leave the kids in the car. Because I had the baby, too, and then put it back in the stall, so I left it there. And she was pounding.
That's her big.
So to this day, you're getting her back.
Yeah.
Oh, and yes, but she was pounding on my window, and she looked in the car like, oh, my God.
Okay. Yeah.
Did she change her tune when she saw you?
She did, because my kids were afraid of me. I screamed. I lashed back at her, and she was like, oh, my gosh, you know.
Yeah.
This woman's insane.
Yeah. I had three little kids at once, and thanks, I never Heather. Did that either. You know, I just would lock the door real quick, run back, and put the cart in the corral. And
play with the accelerator.
That was...
Here's the keys.
No, I had the keys.
Play with the transmission.
Yeah, you can do that if it's just, you know, if you can see where you can just lock the kids in there. I would do that.
And just put up that sign that says baby on board.
Baby on board. Yeah. Take baby.
I'm walking away from the car for max 30 seconds. And again, lock the door, make sure they're in there. It's... You know, even if it was a 100-degree day, they're not going to die in 30 seconds. But,
no.
I at one point...
It's a big secret. It's okay to lock your kids in overheated cars.
But I had three kids under 5 years old. Listen, I understand, and that's why a place like Swiss Farms was such a godsend.
Yeah.
Because you could just go shopping without ever having to leave the car.
Yeah, that's when that would make a lot of sense,
mm-hmm.
I would think. Okay.
By the way, real quick, what's the age where you can leave them in the car and run into the store real quick?
College.
I don't know.
Well, that's usually up to you.
Nah, I would. To me, that's problematic.
I would, when my kids were over, you know, like 9 or 10 years old, I think I would say, all right, I'm going to leave the keys in here because you can't.
Right.
You know, I'd just say, lock the door. You can unlock it when I come back.
That's what I would do. So I'm not going to give an age because I don't want to be under scrutiny.
Yeah.
Right. Because even now, it's like, you know, I have a 14, 12, and 10-year-old. Even now, like, people would be like, you can't do that.
Play with my revolver.
Fortunately, the kids never mess with me. Oh, you want to get in, do you? Want to get in the car? How bad you want to get in the car, Dad? That would have been... I would have had to have given him points for being original. But let me hang on a second. I love this idea. I'm going to go to Tom. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Tom, what's this you've seen on YouTube?
I've seen on YouTube where this guy, if he goes to a shop like a supermarket or whatever, and he sees people that, you know, leave their shopping carts wherever, like in the parking lot, and don't return them to, like, the cart cage or back to the door. He'll tie them to, like, the door handles of the car with wire ties. So when you come out or whatever.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense.
But if they're going in, not unless. Yeah, how does he get them on the other side? Because they're sitting in the car.
Yeah, I was thinking he tied
them. No.
Okay, explain. Yeah,
like, if you watch YouTube, like, if you type it in, like, however you're
going to type YOUTUBE.com.
No.
Oh.
If you type it in stupid, like on YouTube, like how he does the tying the carts or whatever.
Yeah.
Like say, like, all right, say for instance, you're in a shopping center, you come out of the market or the grocery store or whatever, put all your belongings in the car, and then you're in another shopping center where you want to run into another store
or
wherever. He'll take that cart where you left wherever sitting while you're in another store, and he'll just kind of take the wire tie.
I get it now.
Okay, so it's got to be a scenario where you're going to more than one place that's in the same complex, which is kind of, that doesn't happen that often. That's a long waiting game.
Yeah, just cut the brake lines.
Interesting. All right, thanks, Tom. We'll have to look that up. Sounds like that might be set up, but I don't know. I'm sure. That's a good idea if you can pull it off, yeah.
The more I think about it as this conversation goes on, if it wasn't so bad, I think I'd be a cart leaver in a space. It's not a big deal, but if it's like drizzling, I'm like, oh man, I don't feel like taking it back up there.
If it's a large lot and there's plenty of spaces where it really becomes an issue, and obviously you if you're not a raving imbecile, you know when it's okay and when it's...
I never would. I don't. I always put it back. There has never really been a time, at least that I can remember, that I've left the cart out. But I will say, I probably am a little annoyed each time I have to take it back up to the front.
And if there's
store.
No cart little area, no cart station, I bring it back into the store and I put it where it should go because it's, that's part of the deal, man.
It's so funny how, though, Kathy, and thinking about that, I came to a realization a long time ago, rather than kill myself to find a spot that's, 20 feet closer to the store.
Yes.
I'm just going to park back here.
It's not a big deal.
It's not that far.
Yes.
I got time.
I prefer it.
Easier. And so I try to have the same mindset with the cart. Yeah, I got to take this all the way back to the front of the store. It's not much effort. I'm a well-bodied individual.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
I've had
the
that realization.
The only time I'll look for the spot is if it's raining, I'm going to melt if the rain hits me. I don't know.
I know.
Press, I had that realization when trying to find a parking spot at the gym. Here I'm going into exercise and actually work out a little bit. But I need to get the closest spot.
Yeah. And you get so happy if you do.
Yeah. Well, there's politics of the parking lot.
Yep.
Check out that account though, Cartner Express, and you'll really enjoy it.
Okay.
It speaks to this, and especially if Woody's your buddy, I think you'll appreciate the radio side of it.
Definitely. Also, Shartnarks is pretty good too.
Yeah, Shartnarks is good, yeah.
All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, we have bizarre file stories aplenty, including the one from Red Lobster, which was teased so expertly by
Very
Casey.
Exciting.
And we still have trash, music, news, all that stuff coming up. We'll be back in a moment.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, I got some bizarre file stories, so let's share.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Preston and Steve's bizarre file.
And it's brought to you by Steve Mulchworks of Aston.
Mulchworks. Love them. They came by the house yesterday, Andrew and his lovely wife. He's the owner. And dropped off a whole bunch of awesome mulch.
Mulch. They offer the highest quality mulch and topsoil manufactured on site.
It's good stuff.
Along with leaf compost, decorative stone, pavers, and more. Mulchworks sells to residential and commercial markets. With delivery and pickup available, you can visit mulchthis.com to view all products or call their helpful staff to place an order. Well, we will begin with the story Casey mentioned a little while ago. A backlog of orders led to an altercation outside a Red Lobster on East York Road, or in East York, I should, in East York, PA, on Mother's Day. On Sunday, a video captured a few Red Lobster employees forcefully ushering a patron outside of the restaurant's main entrance. In the video, the customer demands a refund several times before taking a swing at an employee.
Wow.
Yeah. And the customer
Someone
said...
Someone likes their Cheddar Bay biscuits.
The customer in the video said, "I was assaulted. I have a whole crowd to see it." And it was recorded by a bystander, by the way. It looked like she assaulted the other person to me. Police responded to Red Lobster. Said Lieutenant Tony Beam, he said, "We did respond and talk to people involved. When officers arrived, the employees seeing the video were there, but the woman in the green sweatshirt who had, taken a swing at somebody had left. Police spoke with her at a nearby location. As far as what kicked off the incident, Beam said that from watching the video, she was upset because her food wasn't ready and she wanted her money refunded. Beam said the restaurant was closed to patrons and only employees were allowed inside. This woman went inside. He said, "My understanding is all food is brought outside of the building." He said that on Mother's Day, there were additional reports of delays in restaurants preparing food.
Yeah, there are a lot of people doing takeout, obviously, for mom. Yeah. It's one of the biggest days for restaurants of the calendar year. So you can imagine it's going to be that way for this.
Somebody texted in and said, yep, I get it. Sometimes you got to risk it for a biscuit. a statement from the restaurant said they apologized. They were overrun. They're understaffed and overrun.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't it Lobster Week?
I don't know.
That exacerbates the issue.
But yeah, it's a full-on fight, Steve, happening at the Red Lobster.
And so she hit her, and then I believe the employee then ended up striking back. And she was like, you hit me. And then everybody watching, like 30 people, were like, you hit her first! And so everybody kind of like jumped in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Turned into a thing.
Yep.
A woman who illegally entered Yellowstone National Park while it was closed due to the pandemic was badly burned on Tuesday after falling into a thermal feature. The woman who was not identified was reportedly backing up while taking photos and fell into a hot springs or fumarole at Old Faithful.
If only they had signs up warning you.
Yeah. Man.
And they're all over the place.
Well, and they're closed.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be in there.
Well, she was making some lobster.
The public park information specialist said, we did not know what thermal feature she fell in. We do know that she suffered burns. After falling into the feature, the woman drove north through the park before being stopped by park rangers. Due to her injury, she was life flighted to the burn center in Eastern Idaho Regional Medical Center. It's under investigation. Yellowstone has been closed. Last fall, a man walking off a boardwalk was burned after falling into hot springs. And someone else sustained severe, an Oregon man died after he reportedly tried to soak in a Yellowstone hot spring.
And they're deadly.
They're insanely hot.
There's a question. Could you, in fact, like if you had 30 lobsters on a stick, could you boil them in that?
I don't think.
I mean, they're it's pretty hot water.
Yeah, it's not boiling hot. Or at least from what I understand. I've never seen them actually boiling, but there is in Yellowstone Lake. There's a feature that comes up actually out of the lake, and the old tale was you could catch a fish, and then put it in there and cook it without ever taking it off the line.
Yeah,
but they always said that was a not necessarily true.
Suffice to say, it's deadly. And you've had stories of people running, like the one guy cannonballed into it, thinking it was just a refreshing.
No, scalding hot. Police in Portland have arrested a man who they say led them on a chase that ended in a food store's stockroom. The police responded to the report of a man breaking into a snack shack at the transit station. Upon the officer's arrival, he ran off and fled to a nearby store. Officers confronted the man in the stockroom, turned towards the officers with his hands under his jacket, and told him he was going to shoot him. In response to the threat, officers tased him.
I should have used hidden fists.
And subsequently arrested him. Matthew Joseph Medlin was booked on several charges. And the main reason I bring this story up was because in 2016, Medlin was arrested for damaging cars and licking a man's face. So this is the type of person they were.
This is a hardcore criminal here.
They were dealing with. Wildlife officials in Tennessee say a 9-year-old boy was fishing with his family on Old Hickory Lake recently when he reeled in a sturgeon that weighed 79.8 pounds.
Wow.
Tennessee Wildlife Resource Agency said that the fish that Coy Price caught dwarfed the 39.8-pound striper his sister caught and 58-pound blue catfish his other sister caught. Those are
huge. That's the biggest fish I've ever seen.
Oh, my God. Norman.
It's Walter.
Right? Walter was the name of the fish. Yep. The agency said that Price released his catch back into the lake, as lake sturgeon can live up to an estimated 150 years, by the way. And we'll do one more story and then we will wrap it up. Let's go with this one. Seagulls aren't exactly known for showing restraint around unattended food. A flock of the birds has been blamed for devouring dozens of donations left outside of a charity food bank in Worcester, England. The seagulls there have a reputation for dive bombing people, and counselors have even called for a controlled cull. In the latest attack, the birds destroyed food left outside the city's food bank over the weekend.
How do you fight that?
The food bank posted about the gull attack on Facebook, writing in part, "Your donations are so precious to us. The last thing we want is seagulls dining out on them." That's sadly what happened to these bags left outside our warehouse when we were closed. Please remember to only drop off items when we're open, or call us and we can arrange a collection. So there you go. And that is what I have in the bizarre file this morning. We'll take a break. When we return, we'll see if you've been paying attention, because we are going to do the lesson question from today. And we'll also get the trash and music news. So stay with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so we're going to do today's lesson question, and we are going to give away as a prize a $50 Lee's Hoagie House gift card. And let's see, what are we going to go to for the question? How about this? If you continue to mess with Ellen, she might be forced to weaponize what animals? 215-263-WMMR. That's from the 6 o'clock hour this morning. We're talking about Ellen DeGeneres, and you want to be careful. You don't want to mess with Ellen.
No.
She might be forced to weaponize these animals. What are they? 215-263-WMMR. You need to call if you know the answer, and we're going to do the trash while we're waiting for that answer.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it is brought to you by Stateside Vodka, and they're getting to you even faster now. 24-hour delivery in Philly and the PA suburbs. 1-hour curbside pickup for vodka and hand sanitizer, and coming soon, their new 1.75-liter bottle.
Oh, wow.
Visit statesidevodka.com for details. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, though they used to be best friends, Rosie O'Donnell has taken a pot shot at Madonna's quarantine video, saying they are very weird. Madonna responded, taking the high road, saying the quote, "Rosie is in a league by herself. In fact, Rosie is a league all by herself." Animal Planet star Forrest Galante suggesting a recent deadly shark attack off of Northern California, more than likely a case of the shark mistaking the surfer for a seal. Galante says another factor could have been the fact that the surfer's board was made entirely out of steakums.
Oh, my God.
That was a bad call. And finally, Broadway theaters are announcing how they will reopen in September after pandemic restrictions have eased. A representative of the Theater Owners Association says their incredibly uncomfortable theater seats will now be spaced a full 6 inches apart. And that's your Hollywood.
All right, let's see if we can get someone who knows the answer to this question. Don't mess with Ellen. If you continue to do so, she might be forced to weaponize which animals? 215-263-WMMR. I will go to Kelly and see if we can get the answer. Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
Well, this is Charlie. Charlie Cavanaugh.
Charlie. Oh. All right, Charlie.
Heather.
Kelly. Charlie. What is the answer? What animals will Ellen weaponize?
That would be gorillas.
Gorillas. Yeah. Hang on a second, dude. We'll get your information, and we will give you a $50 Lee's Hoagie House gift card. Lee's Hoagie House has been serving up the best cheesesteaks and hoagies in the area since 1953. And Lee's is open for pickup or delivery for lunch and dinner. You can find the Lee's closest to you at leeshoagiehouse.com. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
I didn't know there was more to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that from
South Park, I think.
Despicable Me? Oh, okay. By the way, music... What?
I was thinking it was Pokemon.
Oh, wow.
Or Pokemon? How do you say it?
Pokemon.
It's all Butters. Right. It's South Park.
Okay. Thanks. Music news, Kathy needed to join in, so we got everybody. Marissa, you want to say anything?
No.
Okay.
All right, perfect.
Yeah, that's
perfect.
Everybody. That works. The music news is brought to you by Leukemia Lymphoma Society, and you can join Nick McWayne and Team Luke Beasley Media as they set up to take cancer down by participating in the LLS Big Virtual Climb on June 13th. You can visit bigclimb.org/Philly to register today. The makers of a handcrafted ultra-premium British vodka called Ghost claim they've received a letter from the Swedish occult rock band threatening legal action over the use of the name Ghost. Ghost, the band, has also marketed a gin using the group's name, which could conceivably have caused marketplace confusion. The vodka company, which launched in June of 2015, claims the band founder, Tobias Forge, and his representatives have known about their product since 2016. After sharing an initial post about the matter late Saturday on Facebook, the vodka makers issued a lengthier statement this week. Ghost Drinks sales director, Rye Leon, wrote, the band take umbrage to Ghost Vodka trading since 2015, it says, being allowed to title their brand as such, feeling they should have exclusive use of the word Ghost across a multitude of different sectors. This is despite their primary business and income deriving from music and not having a competing product in this sector. Leon added that Ghost Vodka is now available in 36 countries, but had not heard of the band Ghost at the time of its launch and was not marketed to a rock or metal crowd.
When you get to something as common as the word Ghost.
I know.
Yep.
Come on.
Neither Forge nor his representatives have commented on the matter. Forge is working on a fifth Ghost album due out next year. Who was it? Which one of the high profilers tried to market, tried to steal a name? It was like an everyday common.
Well, the
like,
Kardashians tried yeah. to. It was something like,
It was a common word.
A common word.
Yep.
And I forgot what it was.
I remember Paris Hilton tried to.
That's hot.
That's hot. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was the Kardashians was trying like. Was like the
carport. You know?
Yeah, it was something like that. It was something mm-hmm. pretty standard in everyday speech, but I don't remember.
What wasn't it the kid's name?
Oh, it might have been.
Well, they've already done that.
Well,
yeah.
Well, there was Saint and West and right
Biff, mm-hmm. Happy,
oh, good old Biff,
Marilyn Manson.
That's a ghost.
That's a ghost. Marilyn Manson is the subject of a new book of photography called 21 Years in Hell, due out in June. Features 21 years of classic and previously unpublished pictures of Manson by British photographer Peru. I guess that's how you say his name. P-E-R-O-U.
Peru.
Peru, who has become the singer's principal photographer since they met on a shoot in 1998. The book features over 350 photographs, including conceptual portraits, informal behind-the-scenes pictures, and on-stage images.
Oh, your imageries are cosmic, Peru.
Many of the images reportedly show vulnerable sides of Manson's personality that have rarely been seen by the public. Manson said in a statement about Peru.
Peru or Peru?
I don't know. P-E-R-O-U. Peru?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Peru. I just remember the first time you showed up. Bomber jacket, high-laced boots, fully British, barely understandable. I became automatically comfortable around you, and that's the most important part.
Absolutely.
He's one of the world's leading portrait photographers. He has worked with many famous bands, artists, and personalities such as Al Gore, Gillian Anderson, Led Zeppelin.
I love Al Gore's band.
Coldplay, David Beckham, Jay-Z.
All you individuals this evening ready to rock.
Missy Elliott, U2, and more. So you can see that new book. It's titled 21. This is terrible news.
Oh, boy.
Melissa Etheridge's 21-year-old son, Beckett Cipher, has died of a drug overdose. Oh. Etheridge and her ex-partner, filmmaker Julie Cipher, had two children together, daughter Bailey and Beckett, both of whom were conceived via artificial insemination with David Crosby acting as the couple's sperm donor. The couple split in 2000. Etheridge and her ex-wife Tammy Lynn Michaels are the parents to 13-year-old twins. Fans learned of Beckett's death via Etheridge's social media, which announced yesterday, "We are sad to inform you that Melissa's son Beckett passed away, and there will not be a concerts from home show today." She later posted a message on social media that said, "Today I joined the thousands of families who have lost loved ones to opioid addiction. My son Beckett, who was just 21. Struggled to overcome his addiction and finally succumbed to it today. He will be missed by those who love him, his family, and friends.
Terrific.
My heart is broken. I am grateful for those who have reached out with condolences, and I feel their love and sincere grief. We struggle with what else we could have done to save him, and in the end, we know he is out of pain right now. I will sing again soon. It has always healed me from Melissa. So that's terrible. Horrible, horrible news. Moving on, something completely different. Paul McCartney is still the top rocker on Britain's annual Sunday Times Rich List. Paul and his wife Nancy are tied at number one with composer Andrew Lloyd Webber at $993 million. Amazingly, singer Rihanna comes in at number three with a whopping $570 million.
Now, Rihanna...
What did she get into?
Did she marry into... Is this their personal wealth? Did Rihanna?
It just says riches, so...
All right. I'm not sure if she's married or not. I think she might have married into money.
Okay.
But I don't know what would account for that amount of wealth for Rihanna.
Elton John follows with $442 million. Mick Jagger, $349 million. A lot of these names are of the old, British Invasion. Olivia and Donnie Harrison, $330 million. Number six, Ringo Starr is number eight. Michael Flatley.
Riverdance guy, right? Riverdance.
Number nine. And tying for 10 was Ed Sheeran, Rod Stewart, and Sting.
No Mike Reno?
No, from Loverboy?
Yeah.
No, he's not on that.
He's British?
No, he's not.
Oh.
I think he's Canadian.
Well, Rihanna's not British.
Same thing. He visited England.
And then one last story.
Rihanna's single.
She's single.
So, yeah, I know she was involved with a billionaire for a while, but I just doubt he would just give her a billion.
Yeah, were they married?
I don't think so.
Never been married.
Okay, then she must dabble in...
I'm guessing Bitcoin?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe
Wait, Marissa's got her finger up.
Marissa's finger. Let's
go
to it.
A Daily Mail article that breaks down where all her money comes from, and it's fashion.
Okay, it is fashion.
She has a lingerie line and another one. It's called Fenty.
Okay. Fenty.
And makeup. Yeah, she's out there doing her stuff.
All right. Thank you very much. And then one last story. Kiss has published its Kiss Cruise, it's pushed its Kiss Cruise 10 a full year, with the jaunt being postponed until October of 2021. Paul Stanley posted a message in which he told fans, "Hey, everybody, I hope you're staying safe and I hope you're staying sane. We kind of saw this coming, but we were hoping things would change, but they haven't. Even if we wanted to do a Kiss cruise this year, it would probably be canceled because there are so many restrictions being put in place that you wouldn't get the cruise you wanted anyway."
So my trainer is Dwayne from Vertex Fitness. He has been on countless Kiss cruises. He was watching all the news about this. This might very well devastate him.
He said, "We will see you next year. Hold on to your tickets. The ship is sold out.
Don't you go nowhere.
You don't want to lose your place." Dwayne actually met my stepsister on one of the cruises.
Because
she goes on them too.
Yeah.
Wow. And they happen to, and there's thousands of people on these things, they happen to run into each other. I guess they started talking and they found out they had this thing in common.
But it was too funny. It's such a community that's involved with this, and it's such a thing. And
people that go on them love them, man.
All the time.
So the conversation goes, "Hey, where are you from?" "Oh, I'm from Philadelphia." And she goes, "Oh, my brother-in-law works in Philadelphia. He's on the radio."
Stepbrother,
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And there you go.
And that's how it happens.
And that's what's so beautiful about the whole experience.
About the Kiss cruises?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. And that is the music news. We are done with
it. We're LD 5000.
Yeah, we are. No chickens?
Okay. There's a time and place.
All right, okay. Now is not the time nor the place.
No, it would be inappropriate.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a second. And the letter of the day for the word of the week is what we'll get next. Turn it over to Pierre. So stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Coming to an end of our show, end of our workday. If you work early like us and you're wrapping in a little while, Casey's theory is that it's officially Friday when you're done with work. So
Thursday?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I've come around to that way of thinking.
That the weekend officially starts when you've wrapped up work on Thursday.
On Thursday.
Because Friday you don't ever really work.
Friday's easy.
Yeah.
Friday's easy. You can work through a Friday, and then you're home free. So
are you saying we're finished work?
We're done. Yeah. We're done. It's the weekend's here. Isn't that all wonderful? Right. Casey brought me in on that a couple of weeks ago, and it makes the week go by quicker.
I'm still going to have to work that one, but I do love I do love Thursday is a great day for me because it's like at night.
Yeah.
You know, I'll do things that are weekendish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I can see that.
I think Thursday is so great for you because technically, well, not technically, but figuratively, it is half of Thursday is Friday. If you go by the way I say, you know, when work is done on Thursday, it's officially Friday.
There's a case to be made that 1/5 of Monday is Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, there's actually a case to be made that 1/5 of Sunday is Monday.
Uh-huh.
And because I had posed a question.
And Wednesday is Sunday at Carvel.
That's right. I had posed a question on Twitter, you know, a couple of years ago about what's better, Friday or Sunday.
Yeah.
And there was an overwhelming response that said Friday was better. And I was like, that's crazy.
No, it's not crazy. It's absolutely a fact.
In fact,
the Pope made that statement.
But you have to work on Friday, which is kind of like.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, right?
Sunday kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Sunday's a day off, but it's the end.
So my Sunday starts off good, and then I'll watch, you know, I'll do my stuff in the afternoon, and then there's a point where it's like, getting back to the thing.
Yeah.
And then America's Funniest Home Video.
That's right.
And then I'm like, okay, all right.
There's hope.
Yeah.
For you, it's Love Boat and then America's Funniest Home Videos.
The greatest television show ever, the Love Boat or the Sexual Molestation Boat, as it's better known.
I'd like to thank our guest, Ice-T, for being on the show this morning.
Yeah.
It was cool, man. Ice is a great conversation with him all the time. And Dr. David Fagenbaum, who is Dr. Fagenbaum, who is not your average listener, managed to cure his, he found a treatment for his own disease where there wasn't one. So he saved his own life. And he's working on saving other people's lives with his research on COVID-19, hopefully finding an already existing drug that might work properly.
Yeah, he said that he has a podcast up on his website that he forgot to mention, but he said it goes into more detail, basically what we discussed today, but really goes into detail. So if you're interested in hearing it, you can find it on his website, which is chasingmycure.com.
Nice. Okay.
Cool. Excellent. Pierre's here. Hey, man.
He's been on national news a lot, that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. We were just, when we talked to him this morning, some texts were coming in saying that, he's been popping up on national news.
Don't know if you heard
him listener.
Credit us with virtually curing coronavirus.
Yeah.
No, it was amazing.
I did.
Yeah. I mean, nothing is confirmed yet, and it actually hasn't been done, but when it does, we'll get the full credit.
As well you should.
Yeah. Mm.
How you doing today, man?
I'm fine. If you were thinking of the days of the week as people and they came to the dinner table.
Right.
You know, don't you feel bad for Monday? Because poor Monday arrives at the dinner table. You've got your double shot Tuesday. You've got your Wednesday hump day, your thirsty Thursday, your freaky Friday, your sinful Saturday, and your satanic Sunday. But, you know, poor Monday. At the table. Monday, as a person, you know, I could just see Monday kind of slumping over to the table with a, going, hey, how you doing? Okay.
I don't know.
Is it okay if I sit down? Whereas the reframe on Monday would be, hey, it's Monday. We get to start again. Come on, team. Let's get together.
That's how I see Monday.
I see Monday
as a person as full of hope, full of great expectations.
Vigor.
And then Tuesday hits and then the
quiet desperation.
Yeah, quiet desperation. No, I don't hate Mondays. Tuesdays are the least exciting day of the week for me.
Really?
Yeah. Wednesday, you start to see a glimmer of hope.
That's why they had to make Taco Tuesday, to give it something.
Something.
Yep. Something.
Now, I do like Double Shot Tuesdays. Don't get me wrong about that. But Tuesday seems to be the least hopeful day of the week for me personally. Wednesday, you start to see a glimmer of hope. Thursday, you're almost there. Friday, you've arrived. Saturday, you're in it. Well, I was going to say balls deep, but you know, anyway.
You can't, I mean, beach balls. Yes, you can. Beach balls. Absolutely.
Beach balls deep.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, you're wrapping up, and then it starts to get a little bit.
Yeah. Then you're just
unhappy.
One
but then Monday,
deep.
It's like, here I am. All right. Let's do the best we can.
These are the psychological games that you play with yourself. I employ those same tactics. The way the week is framed, and it helps you get through.
Hmm.
Right. There you go.
Excellent. Letter?
Yes.
All right.
God, the hell is that?
fix that.
That was a nice guitar. You scared me.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right.
See, that's a positive.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by The Letter.
He is in terrific.
All right. Yeah. All right. I like it. We have a physique round barbecue and fire pit kit from Landis Block. And you can see what that looks like on our contest page, WMMR.com. Landis Block, by the way. Start imagining your own backyard paradise by looking at the photo gallery.
No, you should. The stuff is great. It really is.
At the photo gallery online at LandisBC.com. We're giving that away tomorrow. It's going to be really cool. What's up on today's show, man?
I love that they call it a physique barbecue.
Yeah.
I think that sounds it's particularly...
It's spelled P-Y-Z-I-Q-U-E. Is this supposed to be physique?
I'll go with physique. Okay. It looks way cool.
Physique.
Yeah. And it'll help your physique just being around
just
it.
Just lifting that sucker up. It's made of stone. Pisique. No, it's very cool. Maybe it's Pisique.
I don't know, man.
How come no one corrected us?
Nobody tells me.
And where are those pictures I was supposed to look at?
Two.
I can't come out of some damn sad song into a story about a heavy barbecue.
Take one with some goddamn cheese on it.
That's right. No, get one with some cheese on it, goddamn it. That's what my dad says. Anyway.
My mother used to say, I'll eat my hat in Macy's window.
I'll eat my hat in Macy's window.
Like if some bizarre thing were to happen. Mm-hmm. If that happens, I'll eat my hat in Macy's window.
My mother used to say, I'll eat your ass with a spoon.
Oh, my God.
Remember that? What was that? What was that? We accidentally played it. Do you remember that clip?
No.
It was, I'll get you a spoon so you can eat my ass.
That was it. It played during something, just a
something serious.
Serious. The clip fired off that we had. And we're like, oh, no.
Not that one.
Yeah, that's great. On the program today, ththank you for asking, I will have workforce blocks of Talking Heads and Poison, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Vinyl Cut. It'll be a great Thursday to hang out with us.
It's going to be a beautiful day. All right. Let me thank our sponsors. Do I have any sponsors
today? No, there's no sponsors today.
Okay. All right. No,
we thank them.
Well, thank
for being
you,
there.
Sponsors.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Tomorrow on our program, we moved a couple things. We're going to have Bill and Jean Beretta. One is a children's author, they've been on the show together. Many times.
They're great. They're starting a podcast.
And the other is a voice of a few different characters from the Sesame Street show. Yeah. And also, good chance we might have Hal Sparks on the program and talk. Another one of our friends. We're just checking in with
yes.
how they're doing. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
WMMR.
The Preston and Steve. Love.
Hate you.
Live.
You people that want to rent an RV, listen to wisdom of a truck driver. One, don't camp out in the left lane. Drive in the right lane, pass in the left. Two, when you make turns, watch your ass in. This is all.
Next message.
Oh, what a beautiful morning it is. Sun is shining. It's going to be warm. And I think my kid's going to get a motherfucking job.
Next message.
This fashion statement should have died 25 years ago, but for the love of God, pull your pants up. You look like you're too fucking stupid to know how to dress yourself properly.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
Tennis betting makes its long-awaited return to BetRivers.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.